It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Hang on to your hats. Jeff Jarvis, Stacey Higginbotham, and I, we're going to talk about Google, but we're also going to talk about a whole bunch of other things. I don't even know where to start. Just stay tuned and fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 448, recorded Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. Raspberry Pi Day. This Week in Google is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. You can save $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/twig and using the promo code TWIG at checkout. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/twig. And by Wink, the best way to discover new wines you'll love. Go to trywink.com/twig to get $20 off your first shipment. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, and we are going to Google today with Stacey Higginbotham from Stacey on IoT at GigaStacey on Twitter, and my very wonderful co-panelist at South by Southwest last week. Have all the geeks left town, Stacey?
Oh, no, they're still here. Well, most of the geeks have left, and now we're up to music.
Music, and then
so now
film.
It's the LA producers. No, film kind of goes throughout the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell you some stuff, and I wish I had gotten tickets to it. I'll tell you that in a second. First, let's say hi to Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism at the City University of New York. It's great to see you.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, boss. Welcome.
Thank you. I ain't your boss. I love the onion. Did you see that Elon Musk is going to be starting some sort of strange onion competitor? I think Elon shouldn't do comedy, but that's, you know...
You missed him at
South
By.
He does everything else.
Was he funny at South By?
He sang.
He sang.
What?
I don't know if he's funny, and he cited Kanye West as his was it his favorite musician?
Did he rap or sing?
Singy rappy. It's hard to say.
Singy rappy.
Hold on. Let's see.
He had a sold out talk at South By. You know, South By's come back, I think.
No. He's saying My Little Buttercup from the
Oh, Little Buttercup, My Little Buttercup. Na, 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 na.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Gilbert and Sullivan, right? He's created a company, according to this, called Thud, THUD exclamation mark, which is going to be... Boy, that's a Master of the Universe picture. I think he wants to be Indiana Jones or Han Solo or something.
I'd love him.
He's wearing a bomber jacket with a fake fur collar.
And the black t-shirt.
And his hair has been carefully coiffed to look as if it's not carefully coiffed.
Yes.
And somebody, he's got the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was early, to be fair.
He tweeted early this morning that because we knew he was hired... That he apparently attempted to buy the Onion at one point.
Which right now is probably for sale.
Get a deal.
Yeah.
So he hired former staffers of the Onion, including editor-in-chief Cole Bolton, executive editor Ben Berkley, and he's going to start something called the Thud. Or Thud. Maybe just Thud. No the. Just Thud. Thud. He says, this is Elon... It's pretty obvious comedy is the next frontier after electric vehicles, space exploration, and brain-computer interfaces. I don't know why anyone's not seeing this. That's funny. He's got some humor. I mean, he did The Boring Company. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been planning this for a while. The registration for Thud.com was December 6th, 2017 through GoDaddy.
Oh, Elon. Oh, Elon. He's, you know, he's not Jeff Bezos rich, but he's 1/5 Jeff Bezos rich, which is plenty.
Doesn't he have a lot of loans?
20 billion. Oh, yeah, he may owe money.
Yeah, he's not terribly liquid, I don't think.
Yeah, but, you know, that's not him, probably. That's probably his companies, right? That's
no, he put a lot. He put all of his PayPal money into his companies. And I feel like.
Variety says he's worth 20 billion. I'm sorry, Forbes says he's worth $20
billion. Oh, well, we all trust and love Forbes and their estimates of people's wealth.
Well, they are the ones who do the Fortune 500 or whatever.
No. They do the Forbes richest.
Fortune does a Fortune 500.
Yes.
You know, there's a clue in there.
I'll let you find it,
which one did Donald Trump want to be spanked with? It helps you Forbes. Keep it straight.
That's not a visual I ever want.
Oh God. So he made a lot of money from PayPal, not anything like his current net worth, but PayPal was only sold to eBay for $1.4 billion, but he's parlayed it. SpaceX is worth more than $20 billion. Tesla, I don't know how much Tesla's worth. That depends on your outlook for Tesla. Do you still love your Tesla?
I do. Although it has started rebooting.
Yeah.
The screen reboots sometimes when I'm driving.
Yeah. I don't know if they wear that well. Yeah. It's all right. You can still drive. Yeah. It's just
you can still drive. But I will tell you, in Texas, the air conditioning also goes. So your music, your nav, and your AC go. And you're like, oh.
It's basically pretty much you can steer.
Can you open the window?
Warm in here. Yeah, you can open the window. I guess in the Model 3, are there still window things, or is everything in the dash?
Everything's in that dash. And I read a story from somebody who's had a bad screen, and it was really a problem until Tesla replaced it, because there's no controls. It's all on that screen.
So, Leo, by the question, do I sense that you're bloom off the rose?
Bloom is off the rose. That's a good way to put it. I'm almost 2 years in. It'll be 2 years in July, and it's getting a little janky, getting a little funky. And
funky or janky?
Janky.
Those are important distinctions.
My 12 volt battery died a year, almost 2 years old, and a 12 volt battery died. And then I called to replace it a week ago, and they were supposed to call me back, and they didn't call me back. So finally, I called several times, like three times, left messages, because they do one nice thing is they do a mobile repair, but they didn't, it was like, come on, guys. And you can't bring a Tesla down to your local. Jiffy Lube, you have to get them to fix it. And so finally I called them again. She said, I was just about to call you.
They called me like a dozen times over a not like with a 12 volt battery issue, Leo, and I didn't have an issue. So I was like, please, I'm good. My battery is fine.
Yeah. Well, apparently the 12 volt accessory batteries die rapidly on Teslas, which is ironic since they have a 90 kilowatt hour or whatever it is battery pack in there, but for some reason they use a separate accessory battery.
So the resale's good, right? I mean, you buy or you lease it?
I leased it. I don't really care, but I'm gonna stay electric. I really like electric. I love the way my car drives.
What would you get? Would you get a little BMW? Or
there's going to be lots of choices. July 2019, when my lease runs out, there'll be lots of good choices, I think.
What else?
The Jaguar Pace. What is it? The iPace just came out.
Is that all electric?
All electric.
Oh, 90, well, you can 90, also get the
go ahead
BW bus.
No, that's not out yet. But when that comes out, I'm definitely getting that. It's the Love bus. But VW bought $20 billion worth of batteries or something, right?
Jeez. Mm-hmm. What's the range for the Jaguar?
Same as the, it's a 90, what is that, kilowatt hour? It's 240 miles.
So does the bus get you more range because it just has so much room for batteries?
Big?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I'll have to look into it. I don't know.
Oh, that's the Jaguar? That's nice looking.
I know. It's an SUV. Yeah. I'm not crazy about an SUV. I'd rather have an XKE or an XJ. But still, I think I'm going to buy my next car from a company that makes cars. That's a thought. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Crazy.
Crazy. Call me crazy.
I still love my Tesla. I would have done the Model 3, but we decided it was just... I didn't want to spend, I think it was going to be, the first one was like 50K for basically what I wanted. I was like,
to build my Model 3.
Mm-hmm. You haven't, or you did?
I got the invitation and I declined it till next year. I said, I'm waiting for the dual motor four-wheel drive version. But I also just deferring. But I was surprised because I ordered it much after the long, you know, the rush.
Why do you need four-wheel drive? You don't have snow.
I just like it's more sure-footed.
To have I see.
It is. It's like driving a mountain goat.
Nothing's like driving a mountain goat, Stacey. Have you ever driven a mountain goat?
I have not. But, trust you know, me. That's what I envision when I see them, like, up there in the nature shows. They're up there.
Or those Grand Canyon mules.
Yeah, I haven't ever ridden on one of those.
So, yeah, VW is very aggressively going into the electric. VW is, by the way, Audi as well as Volkswagen. $25 billion in batteries. VW is planning to build 3 million electric cars by the year 2025. This is the bus you're talking about, but that's a concept.
There's a date coming up, though. I think there's a date.
I would love a Volkswagen. I used to have a Volkswagen. I grew up with a Volkswagen Bug. And, the ID Buzz and the self-driving ID Vision due in 2020. So, but anyway, I figure by a year and a half from now, there'll be lots more choices.
Or we're at nuclear war with Korea, one or the other.
Or there'll be no choice at all.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah, won't that be something? All right, let's move on to topics of the hour. We now know Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, Google's World Developers Conference, Facebook's Developers Conference, and Microsoft's Developers Conference, and they're all roughly in the same two-month period.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come out to California twice in 2 weeks.
That's crazy. You're coming to F8 and I.O. Yeah,
I think so.
I think Microsoft, though, Apple gets the award for the best website. Let me open up the WWDC website because it's really quite pretty. Apple.com/developers. Let me reload it and you'll see the sweet anim. Hey, now the animation's not working on this. Oh, I have to click that maybe. That's what it is.
Oh, I was like, are you in Safari?
Yeah, no, it doesn't actually work in Chrome for me. But if I click this, I think it will. Now we're going to, look at this. Dum, bum, 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 bum. I want to do the Game of Thrones theme. Bum, 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 bum. WWDC. Anyway. Google has a... So, Jeff was mad at me because I discovered three words 2 years after he picked it on Google, on This Week in Google. The three words that...
You forgot all of these links that we put up.
I forgot all of it. Yeah, well, that's one of the good things about getting to be a certain age. I don't remember much.
it's about going through 3,000 links a week.
And so I was all excited about this idea that you could describe any 10 meter by 10 meter square on the world's, on the Earth's planet with three words. And but Google has got its own thing. So the reason is a lot of the world does not have street addresses. India, for instance.
Did you do it for the Twit Brick House?
I did, and I ordered a sign. I haven't gotten it yet. I think it's, what is it, nasal? I know nasal's in there. It's the three words. So one of the things the What Three Words guys did and said, and they said this on, they did this on purpose, is that there's no similarity between squares and their adjacencies. To avoid accidentally entering something close but not the same. So if you made a mistake in the three words, it would be very obvious. Like, oh, I didn't really want to go to the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I'm just trying to go downtown. But Google's done the opposite. So they've come up with a new global code system. They're calling plus codes. It is an open source.
1 second, Leo, because you lost me at your. You never actually told us what Jeff thought. So I'm listening to you describe three words.
Oh, no, just that I did. I revealed the three words on this show a good 2 years before Leo thought he'd discovered them.
Yeah.
So, and I got pissy.
Didn't get pissy.
What are the.
You don't remember that? Oh, maybe you weren't here. Okay, so what?
I wasn't here, so I have no idea what you. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
So let me go to Twit LLC. So this is whatthreewords.com. We had them on. One of our shows, And then, so the three words for a twit are glow, walnut, nasal. So you what you do is, if you have a Mercedes, the new Mercedes will support this in its nav system. So
really?
You can say, navigate to glow, walnut, nasal, and it'll take you right there. And it's, but see, you could actually have different three words for the back of the building and the front of the buildings. It would actually be for the front door, glow, walnut, nasal, because it's 10 meters square. So every place in the world. So let me,
India or places that don't have street addresses, or Africa,
have
where you have words. A lot of places that don't have street signs up, you can navigate somewhere.
Exactly. So let me. Right. So here's Antone's nightclub in Austin, Texas. Its three words are smashes, transmitted, evoked. So, and that would take you right there. Now, it's not just, by the way, developing nations. In Venice, it's very hard to deliver mail because they don't have street addresses. And you're in the, you know, that's actually a very highly skilled job, the post office person.
Well, then how do you do the sequence, though, that says that the smash Olive's piano is next door, is it, the next place I'm going to deliver the email is to Walnuts Fez's Water.
Oh, that's the Mexican Art Museum in downtown Austin, actually. Yeah, that's an interesting question. You have the way what three words works is it doesn't, you could enter it in their map, or you could send it from their map, the GPS coordinates to a regular map and use that. So yeah, you're right. With the postal service, that might be complicated. What Google's proposing is more like, kind of like zip codes. You have a four character, and I say character because it's numbers or letters, area code, and then you have a seven character local code. So it's a lot like your phone number. Except it's not just numbers. It's got.
And it's harder. It's like British postal codes. It's harder to remember when it's a mix of numbers and letters.
Right. It also has, I think, a mistake, which the folks at What Three Words were didn't. You know, when we did What Three Words, they were quick to point out. Oh, listen to my Samsung phone. I'll be showing the S9 in a bit. That's what Samsung thinks a ringtone should sound like. It's like a symphony.
Like you're in an elevator.
Yeah. It's like the doors of the elevator opened.
I don't want to be racist. That's a bad way to start a sentence.
You should stop there. I'm like, you know what? If you don't, just stop
there. Then don't.
It's more cultural than racism. But South Korea, the aesthetics of phones created in South Korea, Samsung particularly, it's clearly culturally very different from
more rococo.
Well, it's just different. I mean, I mean, I celebrate the difference. I'm going to be in Korea next month. I can't wait. But that culture. So sometimes companies take pains to kind of gloss over, you know, make it more Americanized. Samsung, I don't know if they do a good job of that. So that's like that ringtone is like, I don't think that really is a good ringtone, but maybe it plays well in Korea. I don't know. I might as well show you. Did I show you the creepy AR emojis? I'll show you my AR. Actually, you know what? I could do it on Google Photos by now. It's probably, oh no, maybe it hasn't because I haven't uploaded it. I'll do it in the gallery. There's my lovely wife, and there's some pictures of me and Jason and Megan with our, it's not a Snapchat filter, it's an AR emoji.
And sunglasses?
Here's what it thinks I look like.
Oh, you look like Anderson Cooper.
We all look alike, all us white guys. So that's the AR emoji. And as Brian X. Chen said in the New York Times, he did a review featuring his AR emojis. Not really very good. But okay. It's just not Apple quality. I'll do more on this phone in a bit, but that's, I thought you'd want to.
So you were saying that Google made a mistake and it's.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I'm so discursive today.
That's why we're here.
So first of all, the first four codes, first four characters in the area code, 100 by 100 kilometers. And then the last six characters. Six?
Seven.
I thought it was seven. Oh, maybe the plus doesn't count.
The plus is just a character.
They say the last six characters are the local code.
No, I'm wrong. I got a plus in mine, too.
I think the plus is there just as a separator.
And but I have 7++. Oh. My address.
Maybe because your local area has so many people?
No.
Well, the last six characters are the local code, and that gets down to 14 by 14 meters. The area code is not needed with navigating within a 10, obviously, but there is another optional character that could be appended to provide accuracy down to 3 by 3.
So I increased the size of the map and then clicked on the spot, so it gave me the extra character.
That's what you got.
So where do I want the drone to land?
Well, so, that's probably what this is for, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that not every place has addresses, but why go with something complicated as opposed to something easy for people to remember? I guess it's for computers because we just assume computers take us everywhere.
Well, that's why I liked What Three Words. Thank you, Jeff, for that tip, because it's human.
It's okay now.
So you can remember Glow Walnut Nasal a lot better than I can 8GC2CMXR+X6. That's... Now, I remember talking to Tim Berners-Lee, the guy who created the World Wide Web, and he said, I never intended anybody to see http://. That was always, those URIs were always intended for machines. What he underestimated was how that would become, you know, saying www.twit.tv would become a way
of communicating. That's what led to the QCAT. You remember the QCAT?
Yeah, the QCAT.
So no one's ever going to deal with these complicated URLs.
It's my guess that Google says the same thing about these codes. That and boy, you nailed it, Jeff. That's clearly what this is for: is drones.
Oh yeah, because I can actually, if I pull like my house,
okay, you can get your roof, right?
I can get the front of my house. I can get the middle of my house and the back of my house.
Oh,
have you done it for your address there, Leo?
No. How do I do that?
Show the process.
Where do I?
In that story, it had a link to how to do it.
Okay.
Just go to plus code. https://.
You forgot the colon, Stacey. It won't work without the colon.
Right. I did for half.
Tim Berners-Lee, Iota. Okay. Open. It's based on open location code, a standalone open source library. Here's the world's largest carrot. plus dot codes. Okay, here we go. What makes it unique, free, accessible? So let
enter
me
enter a city or plus code.
See, and now what was nice, I wonder if I could put Twit LLC, because what was nice is I put Twit LLC in the What Three Words and it knew where we were. Yeah, it does. Okay,
there you go.
So our code in Petaluma is 78GM+M6.
Now, if you go up, expand the size of the map, you know, plus it.
Yep. I'll get more.
Other way.
Oh, go
other
in? Way. Zoom in?
Go in, yeah.
So, now, this has got this has the front door box. In it. This is where the front door is, right?
Yeah.
So I can do a smaller box. Oh, look.
There you go.
That's the front door right there.
So that's the landing spot for the drone.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. You could just pinpoint it, right? Go to our roof. Oh, yeah. See the last letters. Change then.
And, but they are square, so buildings that aren't square, it's kind of like I'm looking over one of my old apartment complexes just to see like, ooh, would that even get to me?
Well, they said they can do high resolution.
They changed the world.
3 meters by 3 meters, square. Which is 10 feet by 10 feet. I would guess you're not going to land a drone anywhere where you don't have 10 by 10 at least free, right? Clear.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a big. I was actually talking to an architect at a party about like they're thinking about
design
houses,
landing pads?
Drone landing.
Holy
cow. He's like, how do you think about where drones land? I've got a great place because I've got a flat roof, but you know,
that's
everybody else is screwed.
You're gonna just like you know they design ships with a big H and a circle on it. If you're gonna land helicopters, you're gonna have to drive drone, and probably they'll have to have some sort of optical signal and maybe even some lighting signals. The reason it's interesting is because New Zealand just approved a test of drone delivery.
Didn't we just approve one too?
This is
I think we've got somewhere in the U.S.
Well, we had Domino's doing pizza delivery, right?
No, hold on.
But this is who is this that's doing the drone delivery? Is it Amazon in New Zealand?
Well, the other thing New Zealand just approved, or I think approved. Is Larry's Air Taxi Company.
That's the one I was thinking of. Sorry.
Larry's Air Taxi Company. Yes.
The drone. Cora is an electric sky Uber drone from Sebastian Thrun. Larry Page funded it. Thrun, of course, was the former head of the X, Google X.
And creator of the self-driving car at Google.
Yes.
It's Cora, which is a vertical takeoff and landing personal airplane helicopter drone that will carry a passenger. Oh, that's not much use.
This I want.
But what's interesting is, look at, it really is stealth, because look at the front. It looks like there's a dashboard and, you know, windows. But they're tinted, so you can't tell if there's a driver. And people have seen these, are never sure if they can't see a driver. That's because there is no driver.
Otherwise known as a pilot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Wall Street Journal.
There's no liveryman. How does it run without a liveryman?
How do they do without pages? Footman. I need a footman to open the door. Sorry. Go ahead, Stacey.
No, that's okay. I'm answering the question about drone delivery in the U.S. So according to the Wall Street Journal, at a FAA UAS symposium last week, Jay Merkel, a senior FAA air traffic control official, said that some proponents of drones, such as Amazon, quote, think they might be ready to operate this summer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we poo-pooed this. Remember how we laughed when the 60 Minutes piece was it with Larry Page? No, it was Jeff Bezos. And Charlie, yes. Charlie, he's in disgrace now, Rose.
Rose was so getting all wowed about it. Yeah,
was so incredibly wowed Bezos did this reveal and look, here's where we test the drones for delivery. And we were laughing. We said Charlie Rose got played. They're never going to do that. Wrong. I guess if you have fully autonomous drones that really know how to avoid everything, power lines, other drones, you could have thousands in the air.
Birds,
everything. You could have, but it's still better than a street, right? I mean, there's a lot more stuff on the ground.
You could.
Well, the idea is that.
Go ahead, Stacey.
That you could reduce a lot of some transportation traffic, I think, from the street. Yeah.
Well, and after all, Amazon's biggest expense at this point is delivery, right? Has to be.
Shipping. I don't know if it's the biggest, but it was a huge, I think last year it was like a $7 billion loss for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing that can stand in the way of profit.
Amazon doesn't care about profit.
Well, at some point they're going to, and if they do, drones.
I lie. They do care. They have a very macro thing.
They have
just
a long term.
Don't care about excessive.
They
profits.
Have a long term focus, and bravo! And that's one of the reasons they were seriously looking at drone delivery.
And it's almost helpless. Well, you remember the UPS video from a year ago. Where the brown truck arrives, and then out of it come a bunch of drones to nearby addresses.
Oh, wow.
I'll put that up.
That's an interesting idea. So it's the last mile.
Model, isn't it? Yeah.
It solves the last mile problem.
Here we go. Right. So you don't have drones going all over the hell and high up.
Right.
Come on.
Although you could. It just would black out the sun for a period of time.
There you go. Got it.
I'm thinking a lot of deliveries.
I'm like during Christmas season, what happens? We don't see the sun anymore.
It got dark. Oh, it's just Christmas.
It would be loud. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, when you hear
it's
the drones around,
like Friday.
Drones are loud. Yeah,
they're loud. That's the problem.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm not excited by drones to the extent other people are. They're loud. They're irritating. I don't know. I like looking at the sky. That may be part of my problem. I'm from Texas. I love my horizons.
Well, you know why? This is why I don't like drones. This is thank you, chat room, for this link to the Tinkersons. Let's see if we can fly the drone, the father says to the son. The drone goes up in the air and then zip. Let's see if we can find the drone. That's pretty much my drone story in a nutshell.
So if you're into this, people out there in the world, there's a conference that in the early days I helped organize. I haven't been able to be there for the last 2 years, but really nice guy named John Keller runs called Postal Vision 2020.
You're kidding.
And it's about the future of delivery and the Postal Service.
OMG.
And fascinating. Oh. We got Tim Berners-Lee to, I mean, I'm sorry, we got Vince Cerf to keynote, you know, early on.
Fun.
And they've had drone companies there and new package companies there and all kinds of things. It's you know, logistics are actually pretty damn fascinating because it's about atoms. Mm-hmm. Read about atoms.
So I'm going to have to ask you about this, Stacey, because you have the wired home. By the way, I asked Stacey's husband, Andrew, how he felt about all that. I met Andrew. It was great in Austin.
Oh,
he was pretty, he was surprisingly sanguine about the whole thing. The only thing he seemed like was an issue was something about the blinds.
This is a 3-year effort. I have these crazy proprietary blinds. I bought this thing to convert it to Z-Wave. It is a monstrosity. It has a click wheel. So when I program it, I have to get my little screwdriver and move the click wheel. And it's a nightmare.
Mom, why is the house always dark? Shush. It'll be fixed in a year.
We have perfectly acceptable remote controllers, but he wants it to be, he wants to talk to it. And it's,
it's his fault. Are you saying it's Andrew's
fault? You're blaming him?
No, I'm not blaming him. He just, every year, he's like, it's my birthday, Stacey. Maybe we can make the blinds work again. Because they did for
so
a little
cute.
Bit.
That's so cute.
That's what my wife says about getting expense accounts done.
Yeah, every couple has one of those, you know, just this running joke.
It's the how you load the dishwasher.
Yeah, well, that's a big one.
It is.
We're total in agreement on that.
Fork tines up or down?
It doesn't matter. I think that's why we're in agreement.
That's why
we're
in agreement.
Like, yeah.
You don't have a strong opinion.
But we do have a strong opinion about the toilet paper roll. You roll over.
Of course.
Our daughter does it under.
Savage.
Where did she get that?
No, she's just so young. She doesn't understand physics yet.
No, I've explained it to her. She chooses to do it that way. Should I nip her personality in the bud?
No, this is called rebellion, and it's just the beginning, Stacey.
I'll accept that as my rebellion. But that's it.
Yeah, no, that's not bad.
All right, I'm going to give you a video that you'll like as a result. Hold on.
Okay.
Here we go. The next one up.
Meanwhile, I'm going to ask Stacey in a little bit, as soon as I see
not
this.
Not routines?
Here it is. I got it. That's the one you sent, right?
No, I sent one earlier. No, this one's not showing up.
Oh.
I'll put it on the rundown under other. Darn, sorry. It ruins a punchline. Okay, it's in the blank line.
We just
line
edited it.
There you go.
We just edited it to the punchline. This is how Thud is going to work. Is that the worst name for a humor site?
Well, thud? I'm like, you always say a joke landed with a thud when it's not successful.
Yeah.
But sure. The exclamation point, though, really makes you enthusiastic.
Thud.
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 Like, Yahoo.
I'm thinking it's probably an acronym.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Did it help that I typed hello? Did that like...
Yes, somehow it did for you.
Yeah, it unlocked it somehow. I thought it might.
I have everyone say hi to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Get Kevin on. Get Kevin on.
He just sent me his plus code.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Here is a story. Is this Kramer?
No.
Wait a minute. It's like the fake Seinfeld.
Watch me.
This is Mad About You.
Oh,
yeah.
Voila.
Yeah, guys, never. This is, you know why everybody's laughing? Because they recognize it. It's true.
It is true.
It's true. They there's reasons for that.
They're not good ones.
Not good ones. not good ones. All right. Google Assistant's multi-step smart home routines are now live. I knew when I saw this headline, there was only one person who could explain it all to me. Stacey.
And it's not me.
Yeah,
it's not Stacey.
So I am so sad because I don't have this.
Oh.
So I don't have it yet, but I do have opinions on it.
They're rolling it out?
They are still rolling it out. I was really disappointed with this. So there's reasons. Okay, so it's good in the sense that it shows you how it helps a novice person who has some of these devices think about their morning routine and like what they might want to include because it's a checklist that you check off.
Ah.
The downside to this is you can't do anything custom. So if you're like the hardcore smart home user, you're going to look at this and be like, "Rah, I want to do more." And then you're probably going to turn to Google Shortcuts. Oh. And then you're going to be extra frustrated because Google Shortcuts is awful.
Oh.
Google Shortcuts to me is one of the most frustrating user experiences I've ever encountered because it feels like it should be easy. You tell it good morning and then you're like, and this is what I want you to do. But because Google has some weird naming, Google Home has weird naming conventions, and because it doesn't tell you when you do something wrong. Oh. I have a lot of shortcuts I've tried. They don't work. And I don't know why. So I have to like basically remove one item at a time and try to reverse engineer my way back to like a working state and then add again to see what the heck I did wrong. I hate it. So why? I'm not too, I mean, if you're into routines, you know, if it works for you and these options are great. Like I like the bedtime one where it's like put my phone on silent if you have an Android device.
Yeah.
And but so I would totally
you use
check
like
that.
Last if this then that or you know something like that for those. Isn't that easier?
I do that, but maybe Ift is too much for people. If you don't want to use Ift, if you're like, "Oh, Google's letting me do these things," then maybe this is nice. So I also don't use my go on.
At this point, you'd say Echo is probably a better choice for voice home automation or no?
Yes. I started using my Google Home more and I find myself defaulting to the Echo for all but inquiries.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Does the Echo have multi, what is this, multi-step
routines?
They do.
They have multi Yes, they don't have routines. They have, what do they call it? Hold on, I've got to look to see what they call it because I can never remember. They're weird words. And then the Echo this last week just allowed you to start saying things and following it up with more commands without having to say Madam A's name again, which is nice. Okay, sorry.
I do like that. That's the follow-up thing. I misunderstood that. I thought it was like the contextual follow-up that Google's assistant does where you could say how tall is Shaquille O'Neal and then how fat is he and then punched in the nose. But that's not what it is. It's just you say once you say Echo, the trigger word, whatever it is you've chosen once, you can then I guess it keeps listening for a little bit of time.
There's follow-up. So no, actually what you're talking about is true. They have I'm confused because my world
there's
is confusing.
Contextual follow-up.
Contextual follow-up.
And that's but then separate they also, from you don't have to say the trigger word twice in a row.
Yes. Okay, but so going back to the beginning because I'm on cold medicine and I have to stay focused. There is Echo has routines too.
At least you have an excuse. I have no excuse for how.
So Echo does call their routines routines, and it's the same sort of thing. You tell it to what you can say, and then it offers you a lot of options. I don't know if you can see my phone.
Yeah.
So it offers you options, but then it also lets you add your own.
So
right
it's
now,
a little more
Google
flexible.
Yeah. So there you go.
So then Google added something important to this whole melange, which I put on the rundown, which is you can now do location-based reminders on Assistant.
I love that feature. I've used that feature for a long time in Apple on iPhones. And I think Keep does that as well, right? You could say to Keep, remind me, here's my grocery store list. Remind me, pop up that list when I get to the grocery store.
Well, I had no idea.
Oh, that's a nice feature.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I used to have an Ift recipe that when my husband got near the grocery store, it would text him.
Oh, it's a really nice feature.
Ask me if I need stuff at the grocery store.
That's really funny.
But
that's good. Wait a minute. I might have to implement that.
Well, so the downside is he always got a text even when he was just driving by the grocery store, which is the intended function. But he was like,
it's not so bad.
This is irritating. Stacey, the grocery store is right by our house.
That's ultimately, unfortunately, the most common response of a person married to a geek. This is annoying.
Yes.
Stop it.
It's like Seinfeld and Newman.
Stacey. So Keep has done this for a while, and I started doing it with Apple's reminders. So if you have a list or something, you can associate it, like I have the Petaluma Market list. You can associate it with the Petaluma Market. And then I actually have to give my app permissions now to get location information, which I guess I had turned off. So I'll do that right now. And now that it's got permissions information, I can add a location to this. Let's see. This is our shopping list.
Oh, you know what would be good, though? Tie this to the more granular level of the plus codes.
I think it already did that because it's got the Petaluma Market thing. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why Google's value of the plus codes, right?
Yeah, because then when my husband drives by, he's not in the parking lot. Yeah.
So there's the pin. There's the pin icon that will say, I guess.
That would make it less annoying. I like this.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Edit reminder, place or time. So normally a reminder is time. You know, it's 4 o'clock, remind me to mow the lawn. This is place, Petaluma Market. Wow. So whenever I get to that place.
Could you put in a plus code?
Not yet. Or maybe you could. You know what? That would be an easy enough thing for them to do, right? Because right now, yeah, I bet you can because it pops
Petaluma
up the map.
Petaluma Market means inside.
Oh, it uses the plus code. That would be much better.
Yeah, that would be better.
Just like you, Stacey, this works when you're driving by, you're in the vicinity, mm-hmm. you're on the roof, whatever. And you don't necessarily want that. So that's good. If you had a plus code for the front door of the market, and that's when it popped up, that's exactly, that would eliminate some of these false alarms.
Yeah, because one of my things that I'm constantly looking for in my smart home implementations is actually walking through the door-based reminders. So when I leave my front door,
right,
I want a reminder, like jacket, like
check
karate
the stove.
Gear, whatever.
Yeah, lock, yeah.
What,
yeah.
Whatever needs to, like what you need to bring for your day. And
so now,
so far,
is this,
that doesn't work.
So that's something new, though. They're going to have location. How is that going to work with a static device location reminders? It just let you add it to the reminder somehow. Is this an Echo
like
or
Google
I forgot?
Home?
Is this in Google Home or at Echo?
I think it's Google Assistant. Aren't we talking
Assistant.
About that?
Oh, Assistant would make sense because that would be in your phone. Okay. I don't know.
We're all losing it.
I just have too many things on my stack. I blew my stack. Okay, so Google Routines support page is live. And actually, they care about this a lot because I sat on it for a minute or two and I got a pop-up saying, would you like some help from a service representative?
Yeah.
So I'm surprised it's not available to you.
Well, that's what I'm like. I'm like, Google, come on.
So right now they have good morning, bedtime, leaving home. You could do this to the assistant. So you could say, hey, Google, I'm home. So that's kind of location-based. Hey, Google, as well, right?
I just got it.
Yay.
Woo! How do you know you have it? Where do you go?
Sorry. Oh, you go into, hold on, settings for your, in their Google Home or Google Assistant app. And if you scroll down to services, you'll see music, home control, news, routines.
Nice.
Oh, look. Okay. I'm doing the good morning.
And this doesn't require a Google Home. This is, or is it? Does it? It does. It's not your... I see. It's your Google Assistant, but it's on the Google Home.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to talk to the... Well, I guess I could talk to my Google Home on any device because it's telling me what devices this is available on.
Right.
Cancel. Okay. So I'm going to take my phone off silent. I'm going to adjust some lights. I'm going to adjust my thermostat.
And this would be whenever you say, I'm home.
It's when I say, good morning, tell me about my day, or I'm up. Those are... Oh, can I add a command?
So this is nice.
Yes, I can add a command.
So it's much more functional than Amazon then?
No, Amazon's the same sort of functionality.
Okay. See, this is a problem because here we are, presumably experts, certainly seasoned users of these devices.
Yeah.
And we haven't set this up. I haven't set it up on the Echo. And it sounds great when you described it. I love all that. But I don't, I just.
Well, so Google makes it, that's what Google's trying to do. So like here I am, it's showing, I don't know, hold on. Let me dim my screen for y'all. So here it's showing me, ta-da. Oh,
that's a whole long list. And you could check those boxes too.
I'm checking these boxes. Now, when it says, tell me about today's calendar, I'm still hosed because I can't get my G Suite calendar information. Grr. But I can on the Echo.
Oh, interesting.
So. That's why I prefer to ask her about like what's on my schedule today, which is just aggravating. And then so it has me adjust the media volume, it says, and then play music, news, radio, podcast, audiobook, or nothing.
Nice.
Let's see what. Oh, so yeah, and this, the audiobooks is only Google Play Books, which one would expect, I suppose. So, discard.
There you go. Let's take a break. More to come. Leo and Jeff are confused. Show. Stacy too.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Our show today. This is my Friday. That's the only excuse I have to offer. This is my Friday. I'm already on my weekend. Our show today brought to you by my mattress. I have to say, I can't blame it on a bad night's sleep. Those Casper mattresses, man, you sleep so good. Oh, I love my Casper mattress. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know how they do that? They eliminated the number one reason mattresses cost so much, dealing with resellers and showrooms. By eliminating those costs and passing the savings on to you, you're going to save a huge amount. Now, what they don't have is a place you can go lie on a Casper. Well, they do actually in some places like New York City, but in most places, the idea is that you know, lying on a mattress in a showroom isn't going to do you any good anyway, because that's not a real test. You need to get your Casper in your house, lie on it for a night or two or three or 100. And if at any time in the first 100 nights you don't love your mattress, you just call them. They'll come and get it, refund you every penny. So there's no risk. No risk at all. The original Casper mattress combines the multiple supportive memory foams. They kind of pioneered this for a sleep surface with just the right sink, yet just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design lets you sleep cool. That's so important. Even in the winter, even when it's snowing outside, you've got the heater on, you get overheated, and that's not good. But the Casper mattress helps you regulate your temperature throughout the night, so you're always comfortable. And it provides long-lasting comfort and support, and I really like that. And it's risk-free. I mean, you got to try this. Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress. That's why they give you 100 days. And it makes you feel a little bit better because you know there's no risk. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. and the Canada and the U.K. And by the way, they come in a very compact box. You open the box and whoosh, the mattress comes out. It's ready to sleep on. You don't have to air it out or anything. It just feels great, smells great right away. It's good. I actually, both my kids ended up in the dorms with Casper mattresses because, it was nice to have a fresh new mattress and the cost was low enough that I didn't mind. And it was easy. I shipped it to them in the box. They could carry the box upstairs. Henry was on the third floor. It was easy. I think he might have gotten a friend and to help him. And then, boom, opens it up and there it goes. And it was so affordable after 4 years, I said, leave it there. You don't need to bring it back. It's okay. Leave it for the next guy. Get a Casper mattress today. You can save $50 towards select mattresses by going to casper.com/twig and use the promo code TWIG, twig, at checkout. $50 towards select mattresses. Terms and conditions apply. casper.com/twig. Got to use that promo code if you want to get the $50 off. We love Casper. We thank them so much for making
breaking
our
news.
Show possible. Breaking news. This just in.
Breaking news. This just in. Nacho fries become Taco Bell's highest selling product.
Oh, I don't even want to know what that is.
Selling
more
than 53 million orders in the first 5 weeks. If it has to do with queso, it's relevant to this show.
Do we really want to call Taco Bell's cheesy sauce queso? I'm just asking. I mean, I eat at Taco Bell like any other fool, but.
So explain to me, this looks like a French fry. Is it made out of potato?
It is a potato.
It's their take on fries. They have Taco Bell spicy
seasoning,
and then you dip it in cheese instead of ketchup. It's cheesy fries.
And you can't get the cheese. They don't offer the cheese with chips or anything. They just offer it with the
Can you get
fries.
Ketchup if you want ketchup?
No.
I know.
You go to McDonald's for ketchup.
53 million orders in 5 weeks.
Oh my God. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it? Yeah. That's why I actually buy my Mexican food from actual Mexican food shops in Petaluma.
Did you have any queso in Austin?
I did. Yeah. Now, tell me if I went to the wrong place. I went to Uncle Julio's.
That's all right, yeah.
It was all right. We didn't know. You know, I have to say, we went to Franklin's, tried to go to Franklin's Barbecue, and it, literally, that's crazy. You can't, I don't know who goes there.
Oh, yeah, don't go during South By.
Don't go there ever. Yeah. 6 a.m, it's a 6-hour wait. We got there, I thought, oh, okay, well, I know not to go in the morning. Nobody ever gets in. So, or, I mean, you get in, but you wait 6 hours. I'm not waiting 6 hours for lunch. So then we go around noon figuring, well, people will be gone by then. No, the lady said, she offered me a beer, which was nice, from her bucket. And she said, it'll be about 2 hours. And I said, will there be anything left? She said, there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
So we left. We went back downtown, and we went to a place called Cooper's. It was amazing.
Cooper's is not bad barbecue. Really, it's Texas. You can't get bad barbecue.
It was very good.
That's a moment where Stacey should have the glove in her home. Leo,
yeah, I
could
told you
run.
To order.
Look, the
order,
side eye you just got, Stacey.
Where should I have gone? I don't know. I didn't know.
Well, no. Franklin's is okay. See, this is what's wrong with our foodie culture. People like go and eat perfectly good barbecue, and they're like FOMOing.
They
over
make a fetish
the best
of it.
Barbecue.
Yeah, they make a fetish. Yeah, yeah.
You can't you got good barbecue.
You know,
I got great barbecue, and I frankly thought Uncle Julio's was fine. They made guacamole at the table. That was awesome.
Many places make guacamole.
Yeah, that's like, you know.
That's like table stakes.
I'm easily amused. They had a tortilla making machine.
Oh, no. You have to have the
I wanted the mamacita making them by hand, but that's all right. She was there, but she was putting the balls of dough into the machine. It was going. That wasn't quite as good. When I was in Mexico, that was the best tortillas I've ever had, where she, the grandma is standing there making them by hand. They were so good.
You did see the Brooklyn barbecue, didn't you?
What's Brooklyn barbecue?
Well, that was a story 2 weeks ago. I just put up in the rundown.
Obviously, it's actually a picture of falling behind.
Wait, it was last week?
What's the Brooklyn?
March 5 is when this happened.
What is it? Brooklyn
barbecue. Put it in the comments. The picture says it all.
De Blasio decides if Texas or Brooklyn has the best barbecue. That one?
No, I put it in the rundown.
Oh, Vice claims Brooklyn barbecue is world famous. Now it is in the worst way possible. Why is Brooklyn barbecue to
well,
take?
Look at the picture.
This is in Brooklyn.
It's in Brooklyn. That's barbecue as defined by Brooklyn.
So yeah. It's hipster barbecue.
Yeah.
Oh no! See that sauce?
That's
yum.
They would never.
Fried okra. Fried
I do
okra.
Like fried okra. But see, what I liked about Texas barbecue, and we talked to that guy, John, from ATX, the Instagram guy, the ATX barbecue guy, who Texas Monthly named the top 50 Texas barbecues. He went to all of them in 38 days.
He wasn't dead when we saw him.
He was still alive, although both he and Stacy used a term I had never heard before that kind of scared me. Meat sweat.
It's the meat sweats. It's what happens after you eat too much meat and your body is struggling to process it and you get the meat sweats. I can't believe you've never heard this.
Only in Texas.
No, I've never not only not heard it, I've never had it.
Well, that's actually probably good for you. And after a certain age, you should probably not go.
The meat sweats are the first sign of a heart attack at my age.
Yeah, so that's probably true.
Either you've got the meat sweats or you're dead. So what I learned from John, who's great, is that in Texas, it ain't the sauce. In fact, sauce is kind of deprecated. It's the dry rub.
Yes.
And
so
he said, test it via, he said, get the brisket. It's the only way to know if it's good barbecue is how the brisket is.
Yes. In Texas, we are brisket people.
I didn't know this. And I wish I had known
that. And you don't get lean brisket. You get the fatty mix.
That's what he said. He said you want USDA prime, whatever the highest level is, brisket with lots of marbling. I didn't even know brisket could be marbled. I thought the whole point of barbecue was taking the worst meat cuts possible and cooking them long enough so they didn't taste bad. But as it turns out, you can get good brisket. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Did you not
Sorry,
get
audience, I did that.
No, I didn't know. I always get the links and I like pork ribs. I love
you
this.
You missed out on Texas barbecue.
I know. I'm going back. I have to go back. Can I? I'll see you this weekend. I blew it.
Come hang out. I'll take you places.
Who knew?
You get brisket.
Apparently everybody knows except me. So I love this response. This is Kansas City compared to Brooklyn. Kansas City on the top. The Brooklyn barbecue you can't get into. And Sanford Johnson tweets, I've seen Southerns from all walks of life come together to condemn this struggle plate, Brooklyn barbecue. It doesn't really look that appealing, does it?
No.
And everybody who knows barbecue knows that you don't put, like, what is this, a dinner roll?
That's what I was looking at.
Slice of white bread, baby.
Slice of Texas toast.
This is Brooklyn. This is Cooper's barbecue in response. That's a pork. What is that, pork or brisket? That's the brisket?
Man, yeah.
That looks good. Mm-hmm. And they had a sauce, but it was
get more barbecue.
It was a thin kind of vinegary sauce. It wasn't an all thick tomato-y sweet sauce. It's very good. That looks good on a Surface tablet. Good enough to eat. So what's this Brooklyn barbecue? This is silly. This is not barbecue. This looks like a prisoner's last meal or something.
That wouldn't be your last meal. Well, that'd be cruel.
This is what you get in solitary.
Looks like that, yeah.
Well, I was trying to read this men's fitness article for you on the meat sweats.
Men's health has the best articles, I swear to God.
Men's fit.
Oh, okay. Because I follow Men's Health on Twitter. It is the link-baitiest crap you've ever seen. It gets me every time. And every time I hit myself, I go and I read the article and I go, oh, crap, I fell for Men's Health again.
There you go. Oh, it's called the thermic effect of feeding, where your body temperature rises after you down a ridiculous amount of food. So there you go. But... oh, even Food and Wine has one. Yes, the meat sweats are real. Here's how to survive them.
Okay.
Ta-da. Now you know more than you want to know about disgusting things.
Meanwhile, Google land,
yeah.
France is suing Google and Apple over developer contracts. They're seeking fines of 2 million euros over what it terms abusive contractual terms imposed by the tech giants on startups and developers.
They're just trying to find anything they can to sue them. They'll be suing them over parking tickets soon.
France's finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, says, as powerful as they are, Google and Apple should not be able to treat our startups and our developers the way they do. I will therefore be taking Google and Apple to the Paris Commercial Court for abusive trade practices. Google says, we believe our terms comply with French laws and are looking forward to making our case in court. And there you go. There's the EU story of the day. Bezos says he's going to spend his, quote, Amazon lottery winnings on space travel.
Does this mean he's going or?
Oh, that's a good question.
Really wants to go, doesn't he?
The price, here he is, by the way, eating something I don't even want to know. I guess it's an iguana.
It's an iguana.
Don't eat iguanas.
That picture is going to haunt him.
That is horrible.
It is.
Don't eat iguanas, Jeff.
Why? Where was he? Why?
Somewhere not around here.
Explorers Club.
The price to admission of space, the price of admission to space is very high, said Jeff. I am in the process of converting my Amazon lottery winnings into a much lower price of admission so we can go explore the solar system as they dined on iguana.
Maybe it's a delicacy somewhere?
Well, I got to say, having been to the Galapagos, there are many, many iguanas. It's not like there's an iguana shortage.
In Costa Rica, there are many iguanas.
But I don't think you should eat them. They're nice. They're sweet. They're kind.
Are they sweet?
Well, so are cows.
So are cows. True. You know, isn't that funny? It's very cultural, isn't it?
It is.
Pigs are smart. I stopped eating pork, which is really hard.
Because pigs are nice?
Because pigs are really smart. And I started thinking about eating something that was that
you
smart.
You shouldn't eat anything smart. Maybe you should eat more iguana. They're not smart. They're lizards.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't want to eat a lizard. That just doesn't even look appealing. I mean, well, I've had snake, I guess, but... yeah. That was just for fun.
It would be fine if they hadn't left the all of the parts on.
Yeah. Pull off a little bit. Let's go back to space travel because this is an important moment I think we've got to note here.
Bezos is definitely okay. Bezos later declined to clarify how much of his fortune he'd spent on space travel. But Paulson at the next table said Bezos could spend it all if he leaves enough to take care of his mother. Bezos is definitely not leaving mom behind. She said she's going into space. She's already been on an ocean voyage to recover F-1 rocket engines.
You keep reading. This is the funny part.
A trip where the crew made accommodations for her, as Bezos recounted from the stage. When we first boarded the ship, the Norwegian captain, a very nice guy, he went to me and said, Mr. Bezos, I've taken the liberty because of your mother's on board. We never had a woman on board before, removing all the pornography from the common areas. I hope that's okay with you, I said. Yeah, it's fine. It's good. Thank you. I'm sorry I did that. To be sure, plenty of great women explorers have made out pretty well in a male-dominated world anyway. They talk about some women there. And this is Bloomberg technology. Bezos loves Earth, too. We've sent a lot of probes to every planet in the solar system. Believe me, this is the best one. You know, I'm glad to hear him say that because Elon acts as if, like, oh, we're going to save ourselves by going to Mars. And people
Mars is a terrible place.
Yes. I think Elton John said that, but it is. And it would be very, very hard to make Mars into anything habitable for any reasonable number of people. So it's not plan B in any normal scenario. So let's keep our planet okay. The idea of space as a backup to Earth if destroyed is unmotivating, said Bezos. I want a world for my grandchildren's grandchildren to live in. I also want a dynamic world, a world that is expanding and growing. I do not believe in stasis. And this planet's finite. Well, that's a good, you know what? That's a good argument for exploring. But don't think it's because we're going to all move there. I think Jeff has a good head on his shoulders.
I think this is a moment when we should talk about a space explorer par excellence who we lost today.
Oh, you're right. And it's an explorer of the mind.
And the cosmos.
And a brilliant physicist and really an inspiration. Stephen Hawking, of course, passed away.
And so I just put up links to Yuri Milner, who started the space exploration, saying that like thousands of little tiny spaceships.
Yeah.
I put it up on the link.
Yeah.
He did a tribute to Hawking today. And then Tony Hendra, who sat next to Hawking in elementary school.
I did not know that.
Former editor of...
Love Tony Hendra.
Yeah. So here's
Yuri. National Lampoon. Yuri Milner. Should I read that?
Yeah, just a second or third graph.
Yeah. I was greatly saddened to hear of the passing of Stephen Hawking. When future historians consider who were the outstanding people of our age, they will think of Professor Hawking. Some of the greatest insights concerned the late. You know what? I'm going to have to read this directly. I'm trying to read it off the TV screen. That's not. Let me do that again. Where's the link? Facebook.
Well, I'll do it. We now believe that the universe does not really forget anything, and as long as people. Oh, there it went.
Don't read it off the TV screen. I told you.
Wait a minute. Doing physics, his contribution will not be forgotten. So that was nice.
That's good.
Tony Hendra was former editor of National Lampoon. So yes. He too had a tribute.
Here's reactions to, I think I have a link here. The Queen sends a message to Hawking's family, ex-wife deeply saddened. You saw the wonderful, wonderful movie. Here's Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India. President Obama's tribute. That's kind of sweet. Oh, this is a picture of President Obama and Hawking's daughter Lucy. And Obama posted this and said, "Have fun out there among the stars." Hawking's Brief History of Time is a layperson's introduction to deep physics, and it is highly recommended. You should also watch the movie with Eddie Redmayne playing Stephen Hawking, The Theory of Everything. Redmayne said, "We've lost a truly beautiful mind." There is an illustrated brief history that I have that I really like Hawking supervised this publication of it. It's expanded and updated, has lots of great pictures. It's $85 in hardcover, but this I highly recommend. There's a less expensive paperback. Mm-hmm. It was really, really gorgeous. Now I'm going to have to dig it out, put it on my coffee table.
So if I may, let me read just a little bit from Tony Andrews.
Please.
And Tony, as I say, sat next to him, and they each took the exams for the fancy schools, and one got into Oxford, one got into Cambridge. Tony says, considering the scope of his work, there's something felicitous in his dying on the same day Einstein was born. In the space-time continuum, birth, death, and dates are infinitely fungible. Marvelous if he could somehow also make possible for Hawking to discover that he was also right about God and the afterlife. But we will never know. I do know this. This scrawny kid who sat in front of me has redefined forever the paltry measures we have of what it means to succeed. And by his vast additions to the sum of human knowledge, as well as his demonstration of the incalculable power of the human spirit to survive, he has left the world a far better place than most of us ever will.
Interesting, so, especially the part about God, since Hawking was a well-known atheist.
Exactly. I think so is Tony, I would bet.
Yeah. He believed in an impersonal God, but not a creator, I think, is how he phrased it. Wow, yeah. Thank you for reminding me, because that is...
I didn't mean to bring the show down, but I think...
No, that's really important. And he led a rich, full life, given his illness and his handicap.
I've known two people who've had ALS, and the fact that they would survive a year on that horrible disease is amazing. And the fact that he survived so long on it is just phenomenal. But the disease and the wheelchair be damned, having nothing to do with that, he was an amazing man.
He also died on Pi Day, didn't he? 314.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... Einstein's
did he pass
Pi Day.
Yesterday, or did he today?
I think they said Monday, I think is what they said, but I don't know.
Oh, Monday.
But it might have been Pi Day in the UK. Might have been Pi Day by then.
No, today is Wednesday.
So. Yeah, we're geeking.
But see, this is the problem with time.
Tell me about time. What is the problem with time, Leo?
It's relative. It's all relative. Who inherited my Pixel Buds? Did anybody pick those up? I gave those away in the big Leo garage.
Who was
sale.
Bad at work?
Yeah. I put them out. I put all my old stuff that I didn't want to keep out on the conference room table, including the Pixel Buds. But they have apparently improved controls for the Pixel Buds, which I just never grew to love. You can finally double tap to skip songs. Ooh. Triple tapping has a new function. And finally, an in-ear detection feature will pause your music when you remove the right earbud. These are all features that Apple's AirPods
I'm never going to remember
had.
All those things.
Yeah, I never use them on the AirPods, but, it's nice
you
to
start,
have.
I mean, you start, once you start using them, you kind of, whatever works for you, you'll keep.
I'll tell you what I do use. Sense. I use the take one earbud out to pause it, because that's a very natural thing. Somebody talks to you, you take out an earbud, it stops. You talk to them.
I never knew that was the case. I always thought the music was continuing when I talked to somebody.
No, it's phenomenal. That's an example of where somebody's really spending some energy thinking about how people use stuff and do the right thing. By the way, Microsoft cut its laptop prices yesterday on Pi Day by 31.4%. I wish I'd known.
That's much more impressive than 3.1%.
Yeah, it could have been 3.14%. Let's take a break and talk a little more in just a bit. Jeff Jarvis from the City University of New York, BuzzMachine.com, What Would Google Do, Public Parts, and more. And Stacey Higginbotham from StaceyOnIoT.com and her great podcast with Kevin Toefel, who's watching today. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Now officially the biggest lender in the United States, number one, according to Inside Mortgage Finance, the number one online mortgage lender, number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, number one in my heart because they created Rocket Mortgage, a fully online mortgage approval process. No more going to the bank, put on a tie, go on down there. The banker goes through a bunch of rigmarole, then gives you a big, long form to fill out. And then you have to go to the attic, and you get all the paperwork, your pay stubs and your check statements, call the bank saying, I need check statements for 5 years ago, and on and on and on and on and on. And I mean literally. The last time I bought a house 4 years ago, Lisa and I spent more than a month gathering paperwork to prove we were eligible for the mortgage. We got it in the end, but it took us weeks. Rocket Mortgage, about 8 minutes. 8 minutes! And you don't have to get off the couch. You could be at an open house with your smartphone. Go to rocketmortgage.com/twig. Answer a few simple questions you know off the top of your head. Because they have got trusted relationships with all the financial institutions, you just have to give them permission to get the information. They'll get it for you. They crunch the numbers, and based on your income, your assets, and your credit, they tell you the home loans you qualify for. You choose the rate, the down payment, the term, and boom, you're done. Approved. Literally at an open house, you could just show the realtor, we're approved, we'd like to make an offer. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and then mortgage confidently. RocketMortgage.com/twig. Please use that URL. That way they know you saw it here. RocketMortgage.com/twig. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for putting This Week in Google on the air. RocketMortgage.com/twig.
So can I mention one quickly?
Yeah.
So Google just made a change that now if they know you subscribe to, let's say, The Economist or The Guardian or The New York Times, it will place that publication higher in ranking.
Oh, that's
in
great. You know, it's a really, a battle is raging. I'm curious what you think about this because, you know, you're the journalism expert. But it's pretty clear now, Apple just bought Texture, one of our sponsors, yep. Which is the magazine app. It gives you 200 magazines for $10 a month. It was founded by Condé Nast, the big magazine publishers, Condé Nast, Meredith, also Rogers. Yeah, so it was clearly the magazine companies saying, well, we got to find a digital platform. It really was great. It worked well. Apple bought them. Not clear what they're going to do. Eddie Q in an interview said, we're going to put some of it in our Apple News app. This sounds like, Jeff, a commitment from Apple to good journalism. Yes.
Well, what you see happening now is that both Facebook and Google have committed to trying to help publishers with paywalls. And we can debate, you know, how effective paywalls are for every publisher. But
I guess a magazine is the ultimate paywall, right? You have to subscribe.
The magazine is there too. So yeah. this is now Apple coming. And Apple's, of course, helped publishers for quite some time with paywalls. So I think you find that happening all across the board now.
Is this, in some ways, I think it's the response to the fake news thing. And I saw a good piece on in Monday from Jean-Louis Gasset on his site, The Monday Note, saying that these companies have to finally admit we are more than a platform. We are publishers.
Well, you know, I'm going to argue against that. And I wrote
about
that.
Well, there's a side effect to it. There's a negative side effect because then they're responsible, right?
Well, no, that's part of it is you get to the regulation piece. But the other part of it is the expectation that sets for what the internet is. When you call the net on a platform a publisher, it brings to mind a packaged, edited, polished product. And the internet is not that. And so, you know, as I like to say, the internet is not the New York Times, it's Times Square. And so when we in media try to put it in our square hole, the round peg in our square hole, we set this expectation of what it is. And then what happens is when somebody schmutzes on the internet, then the regulators come and say, oh, the internet's ruined. It's ruining society. It's ruining everything. And the moral panic ensues. So I argue strenuously that it is not a publisher and that is an old style, old institution way to look at things. And it informs nothing to put them in our box.
Are you arguing that, though, just because you're worried about governmental interference or because they truly aren't publishers? Because
they truly aren't publishers. There's something new and we miss the opportunity to know what they really are.
Ah, there's something in between platform and publisher.
And we set expectations that are wrong for the internet. The internet's about speech. And just the whole notion of scale. I wrote this the other day that it's the scale of the net and the platforms that enables everyone to talk to anyone. It's also that same scale that makes it impossible to package it and clean it up and find that one ad with rubles because the scale is just so gigantic. And the scale is good, and the scale makes it hard. But that's why we shouldn't think, oh, this is like putting out a Time magazine. They should be able to clean this up. No. And it's an entirely different thing at a different scale with different use. And so, no, damn it, they're not publishers. End of spiel.
Well, I'm glad that they're supporting good journalism. It sounds like they're supporting good journalism by supporting publishers, however.
Yes, and they're also, but you have Facebook trying to, we've talked about that often, how Google is looking at the authority, reliability, and quality of search results. Facebook is now looking at trying to bring back quality news. You saw the news that Twitter put out an RFP to get help to figure out how Twitter affects the health of the public conversation. So they're all now taking a stand. Facebook today banned the far right British party for its leaders for hate speech. This is them trying to find standards. We valued the openness of the net before, and we all and people like me and you fought for the openness of the net. And leave it open.
And then people like Andrew Keen said, it's the cult of the amateur. All these amateurs are going to flood. He was kind of right. Wait a minute now. He was kind of right. All these people are going to flood in. And the problem with completely democratized media is, it gives everybody a voice. And unfortunately, it gives a much more powerful voice to a tiny minority with vile thoughts.
Well, that's because we let them. That's because the system is architected and corrupt properly. That doesn't mean that openness is wrong.
You know, I went to see Black Panther a couple of nights ago, which, by the way.
Well, I still haven't seen it.
You must see.
It's so good. It's good.
It's good. I mean, it's a good movie. It's good Marvel comic stuff. But it's good to me for political reasons. I thought it was very interesting because very strong women, without being emasculating or angry, but just being women that are strong and smart and effective and funny, and then. It showed Africans, but also African Americans in a very, very positive, powerful light. I didn't know this, but Ta-Nehisi Coates has been writing the most recent Black Panther comic books. I had no idea.
And you know what he's writing next?
What?
Captain America.
Awesome. So
he's nervous about it.
What I thought, I'm sitting here watching this, and it reminded me, what a powerful platform movies are. Because that movie's going to be seen. It's already a $1 billion movie. It'll probably end up being the highest grossing movie, certainly of the year, maybe of the decade, maybe of all time. I mean, it's going to be huge. It's going to be seen by white people all over this country and by people of all colors all over the world. And I think that is going to have a very strong positive effect for human rights. But then what it made me think is it's so powerful because the people using it know how to use it. And there's so much power in some of these platforms that it's okay that it's not fully democratized. I'm glad the trolls can't make a $50 million movie. Seriously, Steve Bannon made movies, but no one saw them because they weren't good.
Well, there's that, but there's also kind of the Acorn videos. What they do is they don't take Hollywood. And you could argue, actually, that what was it? Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ was kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, it's not nearly as those things are minor. They're not as damaging as the kind of dialogue that goes on Twitter.
Gone with the Wind. I mean, you could argue until now we've had movies that have denigrated.
I agree with that. No, I'm not saying that movies are good. I'm just saying it is such a powerful platform that I think it's not a bad thing that there have been gatekeepers. Maybe.
Well, but
It was a bad thing that there were gatekeepers because it stopped other people's stories from being told.
Right.
Exactly.
But they're getting told now, and they're not getting told now because of YouTube.
No, I think that the internet enabled so many more voices to be heard and valued.
It's helped. That this is the culmination of years of democracy. In other words,
so I'm
and Karsten is pointing out he's throwing a nonverbal argument and he's putting the student videos from Parkland. Today, a lot of students walked out of classrooms all over the country to protest gun laws and to urge gun safety. And so this is a good, this is a really good example of, yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't think, you're right. So, so you could say, you could, it would be fair to say that Black Panther wouldn't exist if it hadn't been for.
I don't want to be deterministic, but I think that it has a additive effect. I'm doing a lot of research right now, the big pile of books on mass society and mass culture. And if you go back to 1960, the fear and the dread of what television was doing to the mind, and it was all awful.
Yeah.
And if you go back farther, what movies were doing, and of course you go back farther, it was eventually way back, it was books. And this notion that we are incapable and we need these gatekeepers, we need high culture, and high culture has been ruined by this low stuff, and it's kind of an anti-Americanism. And so we're seeing the same thing now. That's what Andrew Keen does to an extent, right? It's the snobbish, elitist view.
It's in a nutshell what Andrew Keen said, yes.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out, but what we're doing is, this is why what Facebook and Google and Twitter are doing is important. They're now, for the first time, trying to realize that quality matters, and they got to figure out WTF quality. And they don't know, and I don't know either. But they're trying to say a barrage of crap by people who are manipulating the platform is no good. So we're going to have to find some way to variegate here and some way to figure that out. And they're just beginning. And it's going to be a hard process because they're going to go too far. And satire is getting killed in Germany and elsewhere now because of the new laws. But they'll figure it out. They'll get there. We'll get there. And we'll say, listen, that's a crappy experience for us. And that's a good experience. So give me more of the good.
Okay, you're right.
Oh, I'm not, but
I was all excited because I thought this is an example of the power of a mainstream motion picture to change. I think to change the minds of millions of people.
But Stacey's point is really right. All the stories that never got told.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
I mean, as a woman watching movies and having my daughter who is way more alert to sexism than I am, there's so many movies that she is like, why would I watch this? It's crap.
Well, and you know, and her generation's been subjected to all these Disney princesses and
Well, okay, my generation was subjected to Disney princesses.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad she
can all the words to the Ariel song.
But I'm just glad that she's sensitized to it. That's good.
That's my doing.
Good job, Mom.
We don't have a lot of boring conversations about gender inequality at our house.
It is a good movie. You should go see it, Jeff.
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm dying to. The one I really also want to watch is, what is it called? Lenin is Dead?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Annihilation because I'm actually looking to buy tickets for tonight. Stalin is dead.
Stalin is dead.
Thank you.
Well, they're both dead, but Stalin is Dead is a movie. Sure. Yeah.
Stalin is Dead. Oh, have you seen the trailer?
It's called The Death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin. Oh, I can't wait to see it. Hilarious trailer.
It's a political satire. Yes. Oh, Armando Iannucci wrote it. I love him.
Great.
He writes great political satire. He's one of my favorites. I was wondering if we'd ever see another movie from him. He did. He did the movie and TV show that Veep was based on.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, he is. What was the name of it? I'm trying to remember. The Thick of It. Which is a fabulous sitcom, and In the Loop was such a good movie. He's good. I can't wait to see it. That will be great.
Up.
Okay,
if you can.
Well, no, we don't have to show a trailer. Everybody should go see that. And then, what else
do you see?
What was
Annihilation? You're going to see that.
What's Annihilation? What's that all about?
That's it's a remake of a sci-fi trilogy. The movie is supposedly very different. It stars Natalie Portman.
Is it a young adult book, or is this another Hunger Games?
No. This is not a. This is a different dystopia.
Get off my lawn.
They go into this thing called the Shimmer, where reality is different and something about alien life forms.
This
maybe
looks
I don't really.
Good. You're going to see that tonight, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, nice.
I was like, Andrew's got plans to do something else, so I'm like, oh.
Now
I
was it you who told me to get the book Autonomous?
Yes.
So I want to
hate it or
no, I'm reading. I'm loving it. And we're interviewing Anna Lee on Friday. Do you want to join us? Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, which would be 5 p.m. your time. Think about it.
I'll
you can Skype
it.
In. If you want to meet Anna Lee Newitz, you could meet her and we'd talk about the book. And
she's been like a hero of mine because she founded IO9 way back in the day.
So yeah.
She's like super awesome.
You want to get on that show, don't you? Come on. I know you've got a life and everything.
But my daughter's been she's been at downtown or downtown. She's been out of town.
She's been downtown since Tuesday, and I've got to go get her.
Yeah, basically, she's been in Houston since Sunday. Yeah, because usually we're busy. And my parents,
you know what?
You know, they live in Houston. They want to see her.
Why doesn't your daughter join us and interview her?
She has not read the book.
It's okay. She can get that youth.
I feel like some of the themes in the book might be
kind of adult.
It's not adult.
It's about big pharma. It's about some amazing autonomous and indentured
robots. Yeah, the indentured robots.
Yeah. Very interesting issues that she raises.
She is reading, what's it called? Zahara, The Wind Seeker, which is a really good looking book.
Yes, I've seen the cover.
And I don't know how to pronounce the writer's name.
Yeah.
Nnedi Okafor?
Well,
it's an older book.
At least 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC Friday. If you are fans of Annalee Newitz or want to find out more from the founding editor of IO9 about her new novel, this must be her first novel, right?
It's her first novel, but not her first book.
Really good. Autonomous. Great sci-fi.
She wrote how we'll escape extinction or how we're going to evolve after extinction. Okay.
Happy thoughts.
The Great Migration. It's something about how we'll survive after the world goes nuclear or life ends.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, wait. Someone's talking about Red Sparrow, which I don't think you should see. I saw it. I loved the books. The books are amazing. I've read the entire trilogy. They are so good. I cannot recommend them enough. The movie is like a gore fest of beating up
looks like
on
that.
Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know why she wanted to do that. I could not watch. Like it was
she's good.
It looked painful. I agree.
Yeah. So don't
Thanks
watch
for the
it.
Warning.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
But read the books. The books are great.
Are you disappointed? We were all excited about The Post. Are you disappointed that no Academy Awards for The Post?
Yeah. No.
Those people have
plenty. It was a piece in time. I don't think it was one of the greatest movies ever made. It was a very good movie, but I don't think it was. I think
it was no
journalists going nuts.
Shape of Water was good, although it was a little like The Creature from the Black Lagoon. But it was good. I would have liked less rubber costume, more. But the rest of it was fine. I really like him as a director. Anyway.
Since we're doing Entertainment Corner.
Yes.
The cold opened last week, Saturday Night Live.
Didn't see it.
It was amazing.
Which one was this? Oh.
It was Mueller breaks up with Collusion.
Yes.
Okay, I will watch it. We won't do it here.
Watch it when you have a chance. Because it was really daring and wildly, weirdly different.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's
do you watch you stay up late on Saturday
night?
No one does.
I'm too old.
No one does.
Come on, Howard Stern time.
No one does that anymore.
They have a YouTube channel.
I know. That's really, you know, it's funny because when YouTube first started, one of the things that almost killed it was NBC. It was the thing that made it was clips like Dick in a Box from Saturday Night Live. And one of the things that almost killed it was NBC furiously suing them.
And CBS did too. The volume did, yeah.
But then I guess they backed down because they realized, you know, this is actually pretty good promotion. More people are watching Saturday Night Live than ever have before. And yet, I have to say, there's no reason to watch Saturday Night Live.
And they get ad revenue from, they get a whole generation they wouldn't get. They get ad revenue from that. They get promotion.
Right.
And it's just the way of the world. You can't
buck
the audience for that long.
What are you going to do? You can't.
Although my daughter runs around saying, like a boss, all the time. Like, and I'm like, have you seen that, Anna?
Well, that's just because it's got part of the culture, but that's how
it has become. She's
happens.
Like, no, I haven't. There's somebody who sings a song on Animal Jam, which is one of the games she plays.
Animal.
I'm like, okay. Well, if you happen to see it and you want to talk to me afterwards, you know, let me know.
She is one lucky sixth grader. That's all I can say. She's got a good mom. Look. You know what moms like to do in my neck of the woods?
Here we go. I've been waiting for this. I whined and pleaded and begged.
Do you know about these guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do.
No, I knew about them because I saw
Lisa. I'm a mom. I'm the target market, apparently.
No, actually.
Lisa bragged about I don't know where to put bottling it. This sponsor.
This is a great sponsor. We all sent. Now, you're in New Jersey, which has very restrictive rules about sending wine. But I think you can still get Wink because Wink is a winemaker. They're not a wine distributor. So you're getting it from the winemaker. And actually, it was pretty smart of them. Wink, W-I-N-C, which I guess stands for wine club, is so much better than a wine club. It is a wine club, but it's, I mean, look, this is for people who probably, for sure over 21 and probably drink wine a little bit, but maybe you'd like to find a better wine, or maybe you're drinking the same wine every night or every day, every week, and you'd like to try something else, or you'd like to get a little more sophisticated about your, I'm trying to find a place to put this. I wanted to show you the box because it comes in this nice box. 4 bottles a month. You can skip any month. You can choose the bottles. Let me actually start with the wine quiz because that's kind of the fun part about Wink. TryWinc.com/twig. Okay, you can go right now. And we, of course, have a deal. You're going to get $20 off your first shipment. But the fun part about this...
What is that code, Leo? What is that code?
Just trywink.com/twig. In fact, if you go there, you'll see at the top it says your $20 discount will be applied at checkout just by going there. But here's the onboarding that I really love, and you can do this if you want. How do you like your coffee? Strong and black, mild but nothing in it, with cream and or sugar, frappuccinoed. I don't like coffee. Jeff, what do you pick?
I was going back here.
How about you, Stacey? What do you like?
I say with sugar.
This is me too. Cream and or sugar.
Only sugar, but I will drink it black if I have to.
Okay. How about you, Jeff?
Mild, but nothing in it.
All right. Well, you know what? This is just a test. Salt. There we go there. Do you like salt? I put it on everything. I use it sometimes, but it bothers me. Food's undersalted. I like the taste, but I don't miss it when it's not on my food. Take it or leave it. Don't really like the salty stuff. You, Jeff, put it on everything. How about you, Stacey?
I'm use it sometimes. Bothers me when it's not salted.
Yeah. Citrus. Well. The more mouth-puckering, the better. Like it, don't love it. Drink the occasional glass of OJ. Nah. Nope, not at all. You get where we're going, right? Do you like earthy flavors like mushrooms and black truffles?
Yes.
More or less eat dirt.
More or less eat dirt. Who doesn't love truffles, right? Blackberries, raspberries, blueberries. Do you love berries? Do you like the flavors, but you like them?
Yeah, I like that wine.
Eat them raw. All right. Now, don't think wine yet, but you could.
I know, but I like them too much. Right?
Yeah, berry. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I like this wine with a little pepper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like a little pepper? All right. So based on what I just kind of made up here, I gave hybrid answers from the two of you, so this may not be your package. But
this is the Stacey and Jeff amalgamation bottle?
Yeah, right. So now you're going to build your box. You can get... By the way, you say, I only want red, you can have 4 reds and no whites. You can have 1 white, 2 whites, 3 whites. You get to choose. So let's do half and half. So it's recommending the 2016 Rosa Obscura Red Blend, Paz Ordinaire Red Blend, the Summer Water Rosé, which, by the way, is I'm not a rosé fan, but when it gets hot out, you're going to want this chilled. And they've recommended a cider, the NV Eplevin cider. They do some ciders. They make all of this themselves all over the world. So this is called Cape Root. It's from Western Cape in South Africa. So this is a South African white. We have a red that we really, really love, a Pinot that's from the Santa Barbara area. They pick the grapes at midnight. They pick them at night. This is very good, too. I've had this 2016 Pinot from Santa Barbara. Here's the one. I think this is the Field Theory, yeah. The Field Theory comes in a cool-looking bottle. You can see it, and it is this. You would know this, maybe. It's a Blaufränkisch. It's a German style, Blaufränkisch. And it is oh, my gosh, this is delicious. So here's the deal with Wink. You sign up. You're going to get – these prices are amazing. Now, admit it, it's not $2 chuck, but this is really great wine from the winemakers.
$13 bottles.
That taste like $60 bottles. How about
that? My rule is under $15.
Yeah. These taste like $60 to $100 bottles. And by the way, you can go and buy individual bottles or a case. If there's something you like, we bought a case of the Field Theory. They work with top winemakers and growers from around the world to make their own wine. Each month, there are new delicious wines like the very popular as we get closer to the hot months, summer water rosé. They also partner with, as you can see, local artists to make beautiful labels. They're all works of art. Shipping is covered. And if you taste it and you don't like it, don't worry. You don't have to send it back. I asked them, I said, do I have to send it back? They said, no, 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 no. We don't want it back. Just pour it out, give it to a friend. We'll send you a new bottle of something you'll love. No questions asked. They just go, no problem. It's on its way. So sit back and relax or celebrate with Wink. We have become Wink fan. We got a big box the other day. We went down. We actually went down to Marina Del Rey a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to meet the winemaker, and he told me some really interesting. Hi, here I am in Sonoma County. I've been here for 20 years, one of the prime wine growing regions of California, of the world. And he told me some stuff about wine I did not know. For instance, there are a lot of places where people take their grapes and make their own wine, even though they don't have wineries. It's very common, and that Wink will do that. They make their wines all over. With
you know, there's a place in Austin that lets you make your own wine.
Yeah. Even in New Jersey. Yeah. New Jersey wine.
Yeah, I did. I had no idea.
Which is a joke, but yes.
Well, I don't think they have any.
I can get deliveries of everything except the champagne.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, New Jersey has among the most restrictive laws on wine shipments. But they'll tell you once you put your address in whether you can get it or not. In most cases, you can because they make their wine. So even the most restrictive states like New Jersey, if you're buying from the winemaker, it's okay. They just don't want – I guess – you know what it is?
It's probably the distributor lobby.
Yeah, it's the lobby.
Frankly. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Or the state licensing boards, depending on
– same reason you can't have a Tesla showroom in Texas. You know, it's just the incumbents.
You can have a showroom. You just can't have a dealership.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. Look, get Wink. And if you aren't drinking great wine, it's not, look, 4 bottles a month. I'm not talking about every night, but getting that nice date night, Saturday night, if you're going to visit friends, bringing them a bottle of this, we get lots more invitations out now because we bring them bottles of Field Theory. This is so good. Trywink.com, TRYWINC.com/twig, $20 off your first order. You're going to love it. This is one of my favorite sponsors. They're all my favorites. They're like my children. I love them all. But Wink, my mouth is watering. I want to do my Wink.
I'm like, when are we done with the show?
Yeah. We're going to send you both. If we can figure it out, I think we can. We'll send you both a little something special from Wink.
Looking for the Field Theory on it. There it is.
Do you like Pinots? It's like a Pinot.
Yes.
It's a little fruity. From what you described, your taste, I think you would like the Field Theory. But don't. We'll send you some. Okay. Any stories I missed? I missed a ton of them because we were wandering all over the place, and I apologize.
Facebook, we walked into entertainment weekly territory.
Yeah,
no?
Facebook is streaming 25 Major League Baseball afternoon games, games you probably wouldn't see normally. Estimates are about $30 to $35 million. Not that expensive, and I think it's for Facebook an excuse to try live broadcasting. Let's just see what happens.
They're all trying to figure it
out. They all want it. Twitter, Facebook, everybody wants to do it.
Let's see. Oh, Android Wear. Who's still wearing Android Wear? Because I saw this and I was like,
no one.
Really? They need more than a name change.
I got one. I haven't opened yet because it was only $135.
Apple Watch just ate the universe.
I'm an Android user and I use a Fitbit instead.
Do you like what do you think of these new Fitbits? This is their attempt to compete with Apple. They're using some of the stuff they got from Pebble, I suspect. Not the Iconic, but the new one that just came out.
The ladies one is
it
what
it looks awfully big.
They said they made it smaller. I have a Charge too, and I like it. It's a good form factor. It does everything I need it to be.
Fitbit Versa. And it's Versa, really probably Fitbit's, I don't want to say dying gas, but they are really, everybody's starting to lose market share to Apple, unfortunately. I like to see competition. And you're right.
Well, I would like to see competition because I'm an Android user.
Yeah, what do Android people do?
Wear OS? No. Android Wear? No.
Yeah. Well, maybe try this.
The Versa's $200.
Yeah.
Fairly inexpensive. That's kind of a lot more than I want to spend on.
Okay.
I just, It's basically you don't an activity know. And sleep tracker and right. a heart rate tracker for right. me. So I don't know.
Well, we'll get a review. We'll let you know.
Yeah,
it's just looks awesome. Awfully big, but maybe it's maybe that's the, so they have sizes. Works with Apple, Android, and Windows Phone.
Oh, it's a focus on women's health, so they're going to have a let's see, period tracking. All right.
So I got the Misfit Vapor for $140.
The Misfit's not bad. I used Misfit trackers before. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't opened it up yet. It's been here for like 3 months.
They were bought by Fossil.
Ah. Well, but really, the story seems to be that wearables, with the exception of Apple's watches, are not doing all that well. It's not a great category. I think people don't need watches, for one thing.
I actually missed my watch. I never was one to like look at my phone because it was always in my bag. So I always like looking at my wrist to see what.
You know, what's made a difference for me is the always on notifications of my Pixel.
That's something, by the way,
make a difference
that Apple still hasn't figured out has how to keep the watch on, how to tell time all the time. They just can't seem to do that. So that's a little bit of a drawback. Yeah, the always on is very nice on the Pixel. I mean, I could see what time it is on both my Samsung and my Google phones right here. I can just look at it. So you're right. Yeah. Who needs a watch? Except
they're
if
in,
it's
your,
in your purse.
I mean,
if it's in your purse, that
if
makes
they're
sense.
In your purse or yeah. something like that.
Your pocket.
And again, I am the weird person who doesn't walk around with her phone.
Don't you notice though when you go to I don't go to a lot of meetings, but when I go to meetings, it seems kind of de rigueur. Everybody puts their phone on their table in front of them like that, right?
Well, if I don't have if I don't have my phone,
nice people turn it over, but I don't.
Oh, you're that guy. When we're out to eat or dinner table, the phone is not even around. I'm old school.
Good for you.
Nothing's that great.
Michael, 15-year-old, will sit at the phone with a table like eating dinner with the phone like this. And Lisa said, put the phone away. Actually, she starts to take it. He goes, no. And he puts it in his lap. And then he spends the rest of the dinner going like this. in his lap. And then he's going, put the phone away. And then it gets in the pocket. And but he's very squirrely.
I think I saw something on Medium about the dark side of digital persuasion and how it's affecting kids. I think Mark Benioff tweeted it.
Everybody's talking about that, right?
Everybody's talking about. You know what? I just put a quote in today from my research about the addiction of television and movies and how awful it was.
there
people
is
go to movies
to say, though,
every week now. I can't.
If you look at what Netflix is talking about doing with badges for completing shows.
Oh please! Oh my!
These kind of efforts, they do have an effect.
Well, that's why those shows start up after a show ends. They start right into another show. They don't want to give you a chance to stop.
And Jeff, I know you're going to call it techno panic, but
sociologist Van Den Haag. One may turn to the mass media when lonely or bored, but mass media, once they become a habit, impair the capacity for meaningful experience. The habit feeds on itself, establishing a vicious circle as addictions do. They lessen people's capacity to experience life itself.
But Jeff, would you disagree with that?
Go see a movie.
Well, wait a minute, Jeff. Isn't that true?
No.
To the degree that you do it, if you spent 5 hours a night watching TV, would that not, in fact, have that exact?
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
I mean, look at what happens at a dinner. There are so many times when we're out to eat and we look around and there's
nobody's
whole families just doing this. And it's distressing.
Maybe they're talking to their other families.
Well, yes, if someone has a family that is not supportive of them, but wouldn't you like to have the chance to establish that relationship with your family?
Yeah, sure. But I think this notion that we're now putting phones in the same category as cocaine is a definite case of moral panic.
I'm putting it in the case.
Some
of
are
cocaine.
Some are. That's what
so, okay. Some are, but I do think this is something we need to look at. We need to question and we need to say, hey, do we really want to gamify binge watching for our kids to encourage them to do more? Netflix does. Sure. But do I, as a parent, think that's a great idea?
Hey
no.
Kids, get your secret decoder ring.
I mean, Did people?
It's just they've gotten better at it, Jeff. It's been weaponized.
Done it.
Do you not think that it could have that it could even be considered?
Eating a bunch of sugary cereal has actually caused your generation a lot of problems to get those secret decoder rings. So I do think this is
that you found that that's how we screw up the world. It's the damn secret decoder rings.
I'm just saying.
And you know what, Stacey? Those Cracker Jack secret prizes and the disappointment that comes led to a generation of cynics.
It might have, Jeff. Doesn't mean because it didn't.
The prizes were really crappy. You always hoped you were going to get something
all right.
good.
Zeynep.
And you realized that life was screwed up.
Zeynep Tufiki. YouTube, the great radicalizer, said something. She's observed something I've observed. I've been saying for a long time, one of the reasons you get people like Logan Paul on YouTube is there is a pressure towards extreme video. I mean, there has been on TV, too. We wouldn't have Morton Downey Jr. without it. But she says, you know, she tried this out as an experiment, and that's all we can do since Google doesn't say how their YouTube algorithms work. It's a very what?
Insightful piece.
You agree?
Well, yeah, because what it says is this notion that, oh, you like that? I'll give you something that's even more like that.
More extreme, then more easy to exploit.
Right. And so you make that thing that is more like
that. So it's the nature of the YouTube algorithm, and it works, or they wouldn't do it because it's I don't think these people are evilly planning this, plotting it in their evil
lairs. I think
when
it gets exploited badly.
But I do think that engineers create algorithms that optimize for the thing the company wants, which is more engagement, more viewing, and that's why you get algorithms that push you towards
The makers in turn exploit that. I mean, the funny example she gave is you watch vegetarian videos and it gives you vegan.
Right.
You know, yeah. The next
it's
step.
More extreme in every direction.
They value relevance, and relevance is a factor that can get played very easily. And so I don't think it's fully true that we think, let's get the whole country into craziness. Yeah, we'll make money that way. I don't think
they're doing that, but it's having that. Do you not agree that it is potentially at least dangerous?
There are unintended consequences.
There are consequences.
Oh, I think it's intended but not necessarily by the platform in all cases. It's by the maker of the far right and far left crazy stuff. They recognize
but the platform's complicit. Just as it was after the Parkland
shooting.
Sometimes
unknowingly. Sometimes unknowingly.
I would grant you that it's completely unknowingly. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Google and Facebook are, but they're optimizing. They're engineers. Just as the engineers at World of Warcraft optimize for maximum playing time, they maximize for what the company wants, which is maximum engagement, maximum viewing time. That has this impact. And are there not societal and individual consequences to algorithms that drive you to spend all day watching more and more extreme videos on YouTube, as an example?
Yes, but are there also good uses of that kind of formula for relevance?
Well, that doesn't.
Yes,
but that doesn't excuse it.
I'm doing research now, and as I dig through, I'm buying book after book after book after book because I see another footnote, I see another thing. That kind of relevance is the basis of these structures. And there is a sensible, good basis for them.
So what should YouTube do?
I think they should be. You're absolutely right. We're agreeing here. I think that they should be aware of, number one, how it's manipulated, and number two, how it can be misused by users as well, and figure out how to not go into a rabbit hole.
So you're saying
I agree with that. The
vegan video makers are at fault for this?
No, I'm saying in that case, there's nothing harmful about saying you like vegetarian, maybe you like vegan. What's the harm? None.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it could be. You could become an extremist. There are extreme vegans.
I live in Austin.
Gee,
you ever want extreme veganism? The beer plant is a brew pub in vegan place in Austin. It actually is really good. Go for it.
Move from San Francisco, right?
Oh, did it?
No, that's a joke.
I'm like, maybe all the Californians are coming here anyway.
You saw the science study, which actually proved something that's obvious to anybody who's paying attention, that fake news has more legs than real news.
Though be careful about putting, this was a very smart study, but it wasn't as it was a very specific study from Deb Roy at MIT Media Lab.
Right.
Where they took a limited number of Twitter threads.
126,000.
Right, and which is not that many when you get right down to it. But they looked then at people's habits of sharing things that had been specifically fact-checked false versus true. And people, equal to bots, shared bad stuff more.
No, bots did not. You missed the fascinating, I thought, sideline.
I thought
when
they took the bots out, it was the same.
No, yeah. So when bot traffic was added back to the mix, computer programs spread false and true news about equally.
I misread that sentence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bots.
Equally to that. Okay.
So the finding is humans, rather than bots, are primarily to blame for spreading fake news. But who didn't know we love fake news?
Yeah, we knew that.
This
is a verification.
The second shooter on the grassy knoll. I mean, we've always loved fake news. We've always loved conspiracy theories. But this proves it. And what I think was important about this is you don't just blame bots or the Internet Research Agency or Russians.
We take responsibility.
Blame humans.
Patches. I hope I'm working with somebody who is going to try to do ad campaigns and more about and this is my phrase, responsible sharing. We all have a responsibility when we share.
I do want to get that Netflix binge watching badge, though.
I watched all the seasons of Voltron. Yes.
Yes.
Which is actually a wonderful remake of the cartoon, but
And I don't think Netflix or Google or Facebook does any of this because they're evil geniuses. They do this is what a business does. It maximizes attention.
Yeah, how sick did we get of Foursquare badges? Right? It works for a little while, and then we say, okay,
I also have to say.
Kids are very different. Kids are super different. Yeah. They collect all kinds. Have you seen the crap that they sell kids to collect?
Go ahead.
Pokemon cards.
Garbage Pail Kids. One of the reasons I don't like marketing and I don't market us very well is because I'm completely conscious of how we could try to manipulate our audience to get more viewing time, and I try not to do that.
What would your best trick be?
Oh, I mean, I could do much more link-baity titles.
I could have more cleavage.
You could have more cleavage. You know, you joke, but back in the days of Tech TV, when we brought in a big-time producer, the first thing he said is, we need more cleavage on the screen.
No.
Yes.
So let me rant momentarily about that. So today I was watching Katie Tour, who is a wonderful TV journalist. And she was wearing a dress that was a little bit low cut. No big deal. And so I was looking for a tweet of hers, and I got creeped out by the men who were ugly in the dress. And then I got depressed by the women who were scolding her for wearing the dress. It doesn't matter what she wears. Listen to what she says. She's really smart. She's a good journalist.
But Jeff, you have a particular kind of blindness to the fact.
What?
You just noticed this, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Okay. She got it from both sides.
Every woman's life.
I know, and she gets it from both sides. It's just, and it would be that people were doing this in public. It's one matter if they think it, but they were doing it. It's just, I felt for Katie Tour and every woman, yes.
But I'm sure she is, as are all TV hosts, bombarded with the message, not necessarily explicit, that the sexier you are, the better you will do.
No, I
guarantee you. I know it. I worked in television for many years. It doesn't have to be explicit, but it is very much in the water.
It is oftentimes explicit,
and it can be explicit, but it's there, and it's a drumbeat, and it's
particularly aggravating when men can look old and have gravitas and look schlubby and disgusting, and you're like, really?
I know.
Yeah.
So
There's no drumbeat for men to be sexier at all. I mean, maybe for younger men, but I never felt any pressure to show more cleavage. I just want to be clear on that.
Please don't.
I used to try, but they actually would discourage it. You have to a little bit blame the platforms. You do, because
they have to learn how they're used and deal with that. They have to learn how they're misused and manipulated. And yes, they have to study that.
I think it's fair for a platform or a publisher I think it's, I mean, you know, I'm not as successful as I would like to be. We're successful enough. And I choose not to do the things that I think are morally suspect, like, you know, encouraging. I always went around encouraging the, I would tell the young women who would join Tech TV, be very careful. Try to project a smart image, not a sexy image, because as soon as you go down that path, you know, that way lies danger. And you even if it's not quite as successful, go for the smart person, not for the sexy person. But it's probably, by the way, bad career advice in both television and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But
had you ever told me to go the sexy route, I would have punched you like actually.
Well, but I was sincere in saying, and by the way, a lot of these young women would in fact wear low cut stuff because they knew. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they knew that was not only what's expected of them, but that's what would work for their career.
But we also shouldn't judge them negatively for wearing what they want to wear.
No, that's what I'm saying. I judge the platform.
Yes.
I judge the publisher. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. How did we get here?
Farhad. I'm a little bit miffed with Farhad.
His fake social media cleanse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like Farhad. He's been on our shows.
He can drive me nuts at times. I can like him too, but he can also drive me nuts.
For 2 months, Farhad writes, I got my news from print newspapers. Here's what I learned. In what has become now a style of article from the New York Times that is really grating on me.
And then only a week later, the New York Times does it again with the most ignorant man in America, the man who turned off all news.
Yeah.
This has become this. It's the something. Worst of the fake New York Times trend story.
Yeah. Trend stories are another kind of cleavage, by the way.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So what's sad
Wait, not
is...
not always.
Huh?
Not always.
No, not always.
New York Times often the case.
Oh, okay. I was like, I write a lot of trend stories about really geeky stuff.
No.
It allows me to geek out.
These are these
That's
fake
a different kind of trend story.
Trend
That's
stories.
A real okay, trend like, no. story.
I these, love those stories. Otherwise, I never get this. To write about things.
These are fake lifestyle trend stories. That's a better
one. Okay, yeah. Got it. Sorry.
And by the way, Farhad, during the entire 2 month period, he claimed not to be reading Twitter, was tweeting sometimes 5-10 times a day, often retweeting news stories.
It was even more than that. It was a huge number.
Yeah. Like 35 times a day in some cases.
So CJR called him on it, and the Times wouldn't do a correction and wouldn't apologize.
The Columbia Journalism Review.
Columbia Journalism Review, sorry. Yeah.
When I read that, I went, oh, my God, Farhad.
He tweeted perhaps more than 1,000 times in this period.
How could you say I got off Twitter and then tweet? Doesn't that seem like, I don't know.
And it just, what struck me about the other story, the most ignorant man in America, is it was also this stance of privilege.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot worry about the world. You know, the fact that people are getting shot in the streets, well, it doesn't affect me because I'm okay.
I mean, I think that's reasonable story if what your reaction is, well, this was a bad way to, you know, deal with the election of President Trump. That's, you know, that's what this point of this article was. He wasn't happy about the election. He's living a liberal fantasy by disconnecting.
But it's still a fake trend story. Yeah, let's find one person, one anecdote of doing this.
One
and
Nazi,
make it, blow
one
it up.
Guy, whatever. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Uber has spent $10.7 billion in 9 years to continue to lose money.
Well, Amazon.
Eric, because
Amazon isn't quite that bad.
I know.
Amazon can make money if they want to. Uber, I don't think, could make money if they wanted to. Really. That's not their business model. Nobody would take Uber if they suddenly had to pay the actual cost of the ride. They still have $6 billion cash on hand, but they've burned through quite a bit.
Are they biding time until self-driving cars come and they're the platform we use? Is that the game?
That's kind of the consensus seems to be they need enough runway.
But that's a lot of
to
runway.
Get to some form of profitability, not based on what they're doing today, like delivering groceries or like delivering packages or like self-driving cars. If we could just get drivers out of the cars, we could be profitable, that kind of thing. It's fascinating to me. And it's not the only company. There's Snap. Look at Snap. There's a lot of companies out there burning through a lot of cash with no real profit. I mean, Twitter had its first profitable quarter ever last quarter. All right, I think now we've covered all the
Stacey wants to run Taco Bell.
Do we talk about nacho
and fries?
Did we talk about meat sweats? Did we get those both in? Okay.
We got the meat sweats and Stacey, the Taco Bell cheesy
Stacey,
fries. Yes, sir.
For the sake of the show, will you go try the nacho fries?
I will.
I only eat one thing at Taco Bell's.
What's that?
What's that?
It's the soft tacos, the beef soft tacos. Oh, and the nachos Bel Grande. But I stopped eating those because they stopped putting things that I liked on them. They changed it. So
I used to love the enchirito back in the day.
You know, my favorite story about Petaluma is there's a Taco Bell's, very popular. And right across the street, literally right across the street, is the best taco truck in town, maybe in all of Northern California. And it's crowded. And I'm happy, and I love it that they just said, "No, you know what? We're gonna park right here.
We give you some good tacos.
Give you some good tacos." Taco Bell was founded by a guy who didn't want to compete with the hamburger stand across the street. The hamburger stand across the street, by the way, was the very first McDonald's, and you know the rest of the story.
I didn't know that.
Ooh. My pick of the week is the Galaxy S9 in vivid purple. A.K.A., what do they call it, lilac?
Is it ultraviolet, the Pantone color of the year?
It is. Is that the Pantone color of the year, is ultraviolet? Mm-hmm. You can't even see ultraviolet.
Okay, it's purple, dude. It's purple.
That's why it's ultra. This is purple, and it's pretty. They put, you know, it's funny, they put the fingerprint reader in the right place, but I'm so conditioned to it being in the wrong place on all my previous Galaxy phones that I rub the flash. I expect the thing to wake up. It does have face recognition. They combine face and iris. It's not quite as fast as Apple's, but because it combines face and iris, it's considered to be pretty darn accurate. Here, I'll show you. See if you can see it. You'll see the red light come on at the top when I press the button, and that's unlocked. I don't know. Could you see that? Here, do it this way. Let me do it this way. You can see it a little bit better. So the phone is off. Press the button. Red light comes on. I'm looking at it. Red light comes on. I'm looking at it. You know what? I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at the
TV. Put your finger.
Yeah. At that point, you go, okay, I'll use the finger.
Screw it.
I haven't had it long enough to give you a full review. Bixby cannot be turned off. They have gamified Bixby, as they did last time. I have 500 Samsung.
They're going to addict you to Bixby.
That ain't going to happen. Bixby's the worst. Look at it. It thinks it's taking dictation, and it didn't even come close. Look how slow it is. However, I do like this. The phone, as it comes out of the box, has Google Assistant right on the front there. Hey, okay, Google. That works fast. And understands what I'm saying. So it's another one of those things where Samsung's got two different of everything. Samsung service and a Google service. But I'm going to, you know, probably put a different launcher on it, disable the Samsung stuff. This is the unlocked one. And I have to say, at least they made the price competitive, much lower than the iPhone. It starts at $720 for the S9 and the S9 Plus. The bigger one, that's what this is $840, unlocked from Samsung. And I think it's going to be a good phone. I'll give you more. You know, it still has this silly side stuff, which I just can't.
What's the silly side stuff?
The edge thing.
Oh, God. It's got a bezel?
I turn that off. I always turn that off. Yeah, you slide in from the edge and you get this.
Oh, okay. I was like, well.
Eich. And then, unfortunately, when you slide in from the other end, you get Bixby.
Oh, not Google? Not something useful?
No, but. You just put a different launcher. This is what's great about Android. You don't like it? Put a different launcher on, which I will.
Do you get rid of all the cruft that way? Launcher?
Yeah. The only thing that you don't get rid of is Samsung's slightly different implementation of the settings. I actually like it. And Samsung does add a lot of, I think, useful features. It's like the sound check, which you do a hearing test and it adapts the sound for your headphones to match your hearing. Things like that are nice additions, I think, to Android. So I don't dislike what Samsung does with Android, and if you put your favorite launcher, I put Action Launcher on.
Is there a regular Android like launcher?
Yeah, You can put Google's own Pixel launcher. You can put it at Google's.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why we like Android. See, Apple doesn't let you change the user interface. That you know,
you Apple prisoners, you.
Yeah, well, I use both. But, all right. Stacey, you got a thing this week?
I do. You guys are going to love it. Okay, let me put the link in because I forgot. Oh, looking for the link. I was trying to get the most up-to-date price, but so far that's not happening. But you're going to love it because it is a smart ironing system that a friend went to the...
Thank God you finally got an IoT device appropriate for your gender.
Oh, I am going to smack you. Where is my...
Where is puncher? The...
Andrew. In our family, I don't iron. Andrew irons because he's actually patient and good at it, and I am not.
You know who irons in our family? You. Nobody.
The laundry.
We send it out.
I'm like, well.
Is this Flipper, the ironing board that saves 80% of your time? Not that one?
Laura. Nope.
That's a Kickstarter.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Laura Star.
Laura Star? It's Star. Not the Minky Supersize Smart Fit ironing board reflector?
It is not.
It is not the Star. Oslo Smart Iron. I mean,
the Oliso.
Oliso? Oliso. Oh.
I've actually seen this. This one's silly. Okay. It doesn't do anything cool.
Okay.
But this one really smart. It's the Laura Star.
Apparently, there's a big market for smart ironing boards that you search for that and you get a lot of stuff. So what does
this
do?
Smart ironing board or smart iron?
Smart iron.
Well, it's a smart iron. So it has a sensor in it, and it tracks your motion. So you have to, when you pair it to your phone, it will teach you how to iron better by tracking how you're moving your stuff over your clothes. It also senses your clothes, and it says, hey, it self-adjusts to whatever it's ironing.
Wait a minute. Teaches you how to iron better?
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez. Does it have an oh, shut up button?
No.
Oh.
How hard is it to iron?
Yeah.
Some people have a hard time. I will say, like, I had a pleated skirt. That thing was a bear to iron, man.
Yes, of course. Nobody irons pleats.
You also have the wrong equipment.
You need a pleat ironer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, but people try. And a lot of times, like, when I have dresses or stuff.
Anthony Nielsen, one of our great producers, says he needs this. He does not know how to iron.
See?
Okay, your mother let you down.
Show it, Leo?
Yeah. No, he's wearing, it may be. He's wearing Steve Jobs black jeans and a black mock turtleneck. You come here. People don't believe me. You look just like Steve Jobs.
So Laura Star is a Swiss company, yes. And they are super expensive.
Oh, boy.
And they also have, and to go with this iron... You can actually buy an accompanying ironing board that has like, it's like an air hockey table. It poofs up your clothes so they don't crease while you're ironing.
I like that.
Oh, how much will this cost?
About $1,400.
Oh my God.
Jeez. Can't you just put the clothes in your expensive oven
and
they'll
do it? The Laura Star Go is $2,500 ironing board.
Yes, that is a different one. That is again. These are fancy irons.
People who can't afford this don't do this.
I put a towel on my counter and iron on that. That's crazy.
I'm just telling you. I am bringing you the fancy connected home goods.
You are doing that.
You didn't know that you wanted.
Well, I do use, when we don't iron, but we do use a steamer if we have to get wrinkles out. And I am fond of steamers, and they also have those.
Laura Star makes some very
expensive steamers.
Steamers.
Sorry,
yes.
Did I call it a steamer? It's a steam generator.
Oh, they're fancy.
A new way of ironing.
I thought this was kind of cool. So you don't have to, but.
Are you getting it?
No.
Come on.
I don't iron.
Oh, that's right. There'd be no point.
Would Andrew want it? He wants a steamer, actually.
Steamers
He's
are
asking
great.
For a steamer for our 16th wedding anniversary.
Aw, he is the perfect husband. I will send you, I did some research on steamers, and I bought a steamer, and I will send you, I can't remember where, it might have been Consumer Reports, but the best steamer is like $58, by the way.
It's excellent. Send it my way.
It's not $800. and it's good, but you got to be careful because it will spit. You don't want spit because then you get wet.
See, my dryer has a steamer setting, but I've never used it.
No. What you do is you hang the clothes on a nice hanger that has the shape you want, and you don't put the steamer on the clothing. You just go up and down near it, and it's beautiful. It's just the wrinkles go, goodbye. You know where I learned about steamers is the wardrobe people at television. They all use steamers.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they use. They don't iron stuff. Jeff Jarvis, do you have a number?
Yes, I do indeed. There it is. Google says it removed more than 3.2 billion bad ads in 2017.
Wow.
That's like double than it had, and it's nearly doubling the 1.7 billion the year before. That's 100 bad ads per second. So I just want for context here.
Wait a minute. Per second.
Per second. So when you talk about scale,
whoa,
this is a problem of scale. So when Al Franken, who I like, but when he went after Facebook saying, rubles, but the ads are rubles, you should have seen that. That imagines as Bartleby the Scrivener taking in the ad order and somebody's looking at every ad order and says, oh, rubles, I better look at this.
Yeah.
They don't know. 100 bad ads per second.
Wow.
The scale of this is amazing. 79 million ads for sending users to malware-laden sites, 400,000 malware sites, 66 million trick-to-click ads, and 48 million ads that prompted unwanted software installation. So thank you, Google.
Very interesting. Friends, we've come to the end of this strange meandering we call This Week in Google. This festival of oddities and weird facts. I don't know about you. I like it that way.
Oh, I know what I should have picked for my thing.
What?
The new Raspberry Pi with Ethernet.
Isn't this nice?
That's amazing.
Yes. It is really
Raspberry
impressive.
Raspberry Pi 3B, I think it is. Yes.
Yes, Model B Plus.
3B Plus. Just in time for Pi Day. Still $35.
Unbelievable.
But dual band 802.11 AC Wi-Fi. Wow.
It's got a 1.4 gigahertz quad-core.
Quad-core 64-bit.
Wow. And it's got power over Ethernet for your smart home projects if you're excited.
PoE is really a nice thing.
It is. It's very fancy.
Because now you don't have to have a power cord. Just have an Ethernet cord that powers it.
Bluetooth. I know it's kind of meaningless, but if you tried to buy a computer with the power of that Raspberry Pi 10 years ago, what would it cost?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
10 years ago?
Well, pick a date. Pick a date. Beyond a certain point, you couldn't have gotten it.
Right.
Yeah. It's amazing. I will do that math and come up with it for you next week.
Well, this particular Broadcom processor is an ARM processor, and so there wasn't even a 64-bit.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to.
So
I'm getting a new laptop before next week. I'll probably have it, the Windows laptop that runs on a Snapdragon 835. It runs on an ARM processor, running full Windows 10. And this is kind of an interesting transition point where, you know, this is an 845 in this 9 Plus. These are desktop class processors at this point, you know, and so that's becomes very, very interesting, I think. So I won't compare it to an ARM chip from 10 years ago. I'll compare it to an Intel chip from 10 years ago, probably through benchmarks.
Yeah, a quad-core 1.4 gigahertz processor?
You can't even do that. I'm going to have to do like Geekbench and see what if somebody will run a Geekbench on the Raspberry Pi Model B Plus. And then we can see what the Geekbench of 10 years ago to get a comparable Geekbench. I guarantee you it's thousands, Jeff. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it would have run hot.
You'd have to have liquid
very
cooling.
Loud fans.
For sure. Yeah. It is really cool. It's just really
cool. Who started Raspberry Pi?
Upton.
Upton, who is a delightful person. Who I have interviewed on separate occasions, and every time I walk away, just like, oh, you're what humanity should be.
We've had him on Triangulation. He's a young guy. He's 39. He wanted to duplicate something that many English kids had grown up with.
Sinclair.
Well, the BBC computer, the Acorn, the Sinclair. Yeah. These cheap, Clive Sinclair came up with like a $70 cheap computer, and he realized what a difference that had made in his life, and so he created this for schools. He was director of studies in computer science at St. John's. And
did he make any money from this?
I don't think so.
No, he made there's a Raspberry.
He made a career.
Yeah,
it's a foundation.
It's a foundation, well, and now they have like certified teachers and that sort of thing. And I feel like, no, I won't say. I don't know. I don't feel like anything.
He says
that people always bring him Raspberry Pis, and he's actually not fond of them because Raspberry Pi is not as delicious as other kinds of pie.
Blueberry pie would be better.
Oh,
yeah, he talks about it getting all gummy and kind of the seeds and stuff. And I'm like, I'm with you, man.
No, raspberry should not be made into pie.
It's like my grandmother. I had her carrot cake once when I was 5 years old and said it was good. For the rest of her life, I had to eat the damn carrot cake.
By the way,
oh my gosh, that happens in my house all the time.
Broadcom makes the chip in it, but he is now technical director at Broadcom. And of course, the other tech news, which we didn't report on, President Trump earlier this week nixed the deal. Broadcom was trying to buy Qualcomm, and he said, for national security reasons, I'm going to block that, period. End of story.
What do we think of that?
It's over. I don't know what to think of it.
I don't either. I didn't see much analysis of it.
So it was a little, before Trump came in, is it CFIUS? The committee on, you know who I'm talking about. Guys, right?
Don't.
It's the Committee on Foreign Investment. They've scuttled other deals. I'm going to find out who it is. And Committee on Foreign Investment. Okay. Yes. So CFIUS? I don't know. It's CFIUS.
Because it's got U.S. So CFIUS, yeah. CFIUS, yeah. It's a treasury,
whatever it is.
It's Treasury Department.
Well, yes. And they look at these types of deals. They actually, Huawei wanted to buy 3Com? They nixed that. So this is what they do. So they were actually looking at this and they said, hey, we have a lot of strategic technology. Do we want this to go to Broadcom, which after it's no longer domiciled in the U.S.? What is interesting to me is Trump actually, before the deal was announced, met with Hock Tan, the CEO of Broadcom, back in like October of last year.
To celebrate the fact they were coming back to the U.S.
Yes, to celebrate the jobs and the Broadcom was doing more here. So I thought this was like, it felt very much like Trump he's not aware of it. And then someone puts it across of his desk and they're like, this is bad. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see how this is bad. Check.
Yeah, I don't think he could make a credible case one way or the other for why he blocked it, to be honest. But I'm not sure it's a bad idea. Broadcom is repatriating. They're coming back to the United States. But right now they're headquartered in Singapore. Qualcomm certainly has many patents. It has all the CDMA patents and many LTE patents. And so that there might be a legitimate national security concern. I'm not against the idea, frankly. Qualcomm is... really two companies. The company that makes money is the patent holding company, and the company that makes chips does all right, but it's not nearly the profit center.
They don't make chips. They design chips.
Pardon me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
Systems on a chip. No, that's a completely apt correction.
So, guys, we talked about food too much.
Go have barbecue.
Now I'm starving.
Go have barbecue. If I lived in Austin, I'd be on my way. There is a place out a little bit farther that we always go when we go to Austin. We didn't go this time. That has the best Mexican food and it has wonderful tequila. It's on that avenue, the going out of town. I can't remember the name of it, but it's really
I think good. I know which one you're in.
Go there now. And have
the avenue going out of town? We have many avenues.
There's Congress. there's Brazos. There's San Jacinto. I can't remember.
Oh, is it Gueros?
Yes, Gueros. Isn't it good?
It's all right.
What? What's your favorite?
My favorite Mexican food in Austin is probably El Chile.
Oh, okay.
Because I like their mole.
Oh, and then We were talking mole.
There's a restaurant called Las Palomas that's actually, weirdly enough, in a strip mall in Westlake, and that is freaking delicious.
So you're more sophisticated. But we did have a tradition of going. It's on South Congress. We used to have a tradition of going out to Gueros every time we went to Austin. Only a 7.7. So
it's never, not. I mean, just Mexican food. I'll eat any of it.
It's a tourist destination. I'm a tourist.
No. We used to eat there. It's not tour. I mean, okay. Now because South Congress is kind of crazy, it is.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Stacey Higginbotham, find her at stacyonIoT.com. You really must subscribe to her newsletter. And once again, Stacey, my deepest thanks for hooking us up with Wendy Nather and Bo Woods and that great panel. We've been showing it over and over again. We did South by last Friday. It was fantastic. Thank you for your help with
that. Thank you. It was super fun.
Yeah, super fun. In fact, I think we're going to do more of that, so stay tuned. We really enjoyed it. I thought, it went so smoothly, we thought we could do this. We could do this more at other events. We should do this more. Get out and see
the
world.
Play on the road.
Come to New York.
Yeah, exactly. That's where Jeff Jarvis hangs his hat. He's a professor of journalism at the Tau Knight School of Journalism at the City University of New York, where some very lucky students, graduate students, get to work with the best. He also blogs at buzzmachine.com and has written many a book, including Geeks
Bearing. And I'm privileged to be here most every week.
Tis our privilege, Jeff. Thank you, both of you, for being here. And we'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.